The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, another special off-season edition, and this is going to be a big show. I can just tell the emails are already flying in here at webradio at patriots.com. We're going to be talking draft, talking Mickey Loomis. Later on in the show, Will Allen will be stopping by, new cornerback.
So, I told you guys about Mickey Loomis.
Right. So we've got an action-packed, jam-packed show. I can't wait. Andy's here. Eric's here. Hasn't gone to Paris yet. Paul's back from Florida, all tanned and ready to go.
Hey, I was at SeaWorld, by the way.
You were at SeaWorld.
Yes. Yeah, you sent us evidence.
Last Tuesday.
You texted us.
I saw you.
Yeah, you saw the big walrus?
Yeah. Fatter shoulders than you.
I thought it was your dinner. And Kevin's in the booth.
He doesn't care for fish.
So this is a big show. Guys.
Walrus is that a fish? Mammal? They
breathe. That's a mammal.
Yeah,
it's
you can eat a walrus.
Yeah. All right, big show,
time.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Here, last one before the draft.
Right, here Woo! At the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. So little programming note. Of course, we'll be here until 2 o'clock today taking your calls and emails. We will not have a show at our regularly scheduled slot on Thursday, but...
Eric, did you catch that?
We'll be live...
Regularly scheduled slot.
Regularly.
Yeah, we'll be...
How's that treating your squirrel head?
We'll be live at 8 o'clock, and we'll be going all night
regularly.
As long as the first round is going on. We'll be broadcasting from draft headquarters here at Gillette Stadium. So plan your evening accordingly.
And is one of the shows an odd time? Somebody tweeted me that looking forward to 11 hours and 9 minutes,
9 minutes
of PFW.
Yeah,
and
nine minutes
I was going to say, what do you mean by the 9 minutes? But I'm sure he had some like jokes set up, and I didn't want to play into it.
Oh, okay.
A-hole. Why not?
I just
the guy's going to spend half his week listening to us. The best you could do is play along with his joke.
And since when are we above the nonsense of whatever the guy's joke was?
Eric, you have a little I vote sticker on your sweater.
I voted.
I voted.
What is that all about?
He must
it
have
was
voted
primary
today.
Day in Rhode Island.
And you want to make sure everyone knows that you voted.
That's what they. That's what happens when you go and vote. They give you the sticker.
You don't have to put it on.
Yeah, but the...
I usually give it to Jackson.
My parents work at the polling station.
Oh, okay.
big year for them. They actually have to check IDs in Rhode Island for the first time, I heard on the news.
Yeah. And actually, I was wearing my
what?
My
stadium. You didn't have to check IDs before?
Lending further credence to the most corrupt state in the union.
No wonder Obama's the president.
And my my Gillette Stadium badge, which we always have to wear, that counted as official identification.
You could print that on your own HP desk jet.
I know. But at least they're making the effort, unlike some states.
It's a scam.
Where, you know,
it's a suppression.
You just walk in.
Move in. It's anti-American.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, it
what?
Is. It's absolutely anti-American.
It's anti-American.
This never happened before.
It's anti-American to.
All of a sudden, we need to do this. I wonder why. Anyway.
Because you should.
Because there's voter fraud. Rampant.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
No, there isn't.
Oh, okay.
There isn't.
What was that? Okay. What was that could be organization?
Acorn.
Yeah. There isn't. Okay.
They didn't commit
any problems.
We know
why this is happening. All of a sudden.
They planted a seed of.
Anyway, back to football.
Literally.
Why don't you enlighten us? Guy's in charge. I mean, it would.
Right.
Would
and that's why we're doing it.
Oh, because your guy wants it.
No.
People have been calling for this for longer than that.
True. He shouldn't want it.
I mean, when things get enacted during an administration, is it safe to say that it's of the blessing of that administration?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't a national thing.
It wasn't.
Okay.
This is a state thing.
It's a state-by-state thing.
It's a state thing.
So why are we blaming it on that, then? Why do, quote, we know why it's happening?
We do know why it's happening. Do a little research.
We think it should have happened all along.
I mean, I don't think it's outrageous.
If there was voter fraud, absolutely, but there isn't.
I think voting is a big deal. You should have to show ID.
You don't think that you
I think all things that are big deals, you show ID.
If you have to show an ID to get on a plane and to buy alcohol,
right.
You damn should be able to have.
You're on a voter registration roll. When they come, they check. You can't vote twice. It's impossible
to
do that.
Right, but if Andy votes as me and then I go and show up, then
I'm going
to
know there's fraud, and that doesn't happen.
No, wait a minute.
That's not why. It's
most places only get like 30 or 40% turnout.
Right.
So if you vote for all the other 60%,
well, that's your
that's
fault.
Fraud.
But that's your fault for not voting.
No, it isn't. A person should have the right to choose not to vote.
But
that's ridiculous.
But listen.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. A person has to vote.
No, you don't have to.
Thank you.
But the thing is.
So take back what you just said then.
It's your fault if you have a problem with who was elected and you're not voting. That's
but wait
your
a minute.
Problem.
That's a separate issue.
That's not what we're talking about.
If a person chooses not to vote, but somebody else votes for them because they don't have to show ID, that is fraud.
That's my favorite part of Fred right there. He completely changes an argument in the middle. If you have a problem, now all of a sudden, if you have a problem with a guy and you don't vote.
This is why I didn't want to talk about
it. Yes, because people are going to get really mad.
Right, yeah.
The draft is, you know, hours away.
The bottom line is there is no widespread voter fraud, period.
Right. You know
the story.
Fact.
Yes.
Not opinion.
Because if it was, we'd know about it.
But I still don't understand why it's not reasonable to have to prove that you are who you say you are.
Because there's a lot of people that don't have ID that are eligible to
vote. But if those same people wanted to get on a plane, they would have to show some form of ID.
Okay, fine. But there's a lot of people who don't have that can't get on a plane either.
But why do a lot of people not have ID?
There's a lot of poor people. There's a lot of older people. There's
so
a
you
lot
have
of people
don't
to
have
get
ID?
ID. Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Okay, I mean, I'll take your word for it. I'll plead ignorant on this.
You have to get a driver's license. You have to pay for that.
I find it hard to believe you couldn't get an ID if you want.
But there's a lot of people that don't have driver's license, that don't have ID,
but if you're
that are
poor,
still eligible to vote.
Wait, if you're that poor, there's no way you can get an ID without paying?
There's a way to do it. You have to go down to City Hall and pay to get this ID.
I find it hard to believe you have to pay. I'm guessing if you can prove I make $1,000 a year, that you could get a free one.
Maybe.
The country would give you, this country gives a lot of people a lot of crap.
If you don't have a driver's license, you don't drive, so it's hard.
I think that's called an excuse.
Isn't this America?
I just can't imagine there's a large segment of the population that's too poor to have an ID.
Right.
I just can't.
And even
if they have no reason to have one.
Yeah, they do to vote.
Well, to get on a plane.
Well, now
they
do. Have one.
They never did before.
Well,
now they have to have one. Now they do.
You know, they never did before.
You should have to be able to prove you are who you say you are.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
There's a reason why all of a sudden.
Anyway, Mickey Loomis, huh?
Mickey Loomis talking about, you know,
he's got an ID.
Illegal things.
They'll take it away when they put him in prison, but
he's an ID IoT.
Well, before we talk about Mickey Loomis, any Patriots news we want to get out of the way? Anything going on besides the draft?
Oh, well, there was some reported visits since our last show, free agent visits.
And I
think
notable visits.
Yeah, Joseph Addai, Tim Hightower, and Ryan Grant were all reported to have visited Foxborough last week. Thursday and Friday of last week, veteran running backs, in all their cases, guys who've had some level of
success
and good production. Addai, I think, might be the most high-profile of them. being a former first-round pick, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. You know, Ryan Grant had some good games before he got injured with Green Bay, but not over the length of time that Adai did. And Hightower, same thing, coming off a knee injury. Tells me that what we were talking about last week is certainly in play, that they need another running back, preferably a veteran running back. And my guess is they'll wait till after the draft this week, see who they might be able to get as far as a rookie is concerned, and then sign one of these guys maybe who visited.
Yeah. What do you think of Adai? You think he could help this team? Because I look at him, and I think he's about what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was. I think I look at them pretty comparable. Maybe Adai's a little bit
well,
better
a totally
in the
different kind of running back.
He's a better receiver.
Well, he's a better. I was going to say he's maybe a little bit better in the passing game, but you know, as far as breakaway speed,
a little bit
all
of
that,
a bigger
I think they're
player
about
too.
Equal.
I would say they're both just guys, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm not a huge Adai fan, but he's a totally different kind of running back than Benny. But I also think the Patriots have that kind of running back. You know, with you know, I think he's more of a third down back at this stage of his career. I don't necessarily. I think Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead are going to fill that role better than Adai could at this point. I don't know how you guys feel. I know you never liked Adai to begin with, Andy, but you have to admit he had a better career than you thought he would.
Yeah, when he took that screen pass like 80 yards against the Patriots.
I remember that. That was a great run.
Yeah.
The end of the half. Throwaway play,
I mean,
too.
They're all intriguing in their own ways. I mean, they're all been productive. I mean, Grant had a couple 1,200-yard mm-hmm. seasons. Hightower, if you remember, kind of came into the league as a touchdown guy. You looked up, and who's this Hightower with his 10th touchdown of the season or whatever? Never been an every-down kind of guy. Always like 130, 140 carries, but can catch the ball. He's coming off an ACL, but he's, to me, the most intriguing because I think his career is ahead of him. I'm not sure Grant, he's been good. I'm not sold that he has a lot left and has a big upside. I think Hightower
but,
could still
you know,
have upside.
The Patriots have always had that veteran guy in the running back core, you know, whether it's the fifth guy or whatever. I think every team needs that guy. You need the depth there, and it might as well be a veteran guy, and they don't have that right now.
They don't.
They
don't.
Need it.
They
will.
They
need another guy.
Have it. The question is it going to be a pass catcher? Is it going to be a pounder, just a goal line short yardage guy? Is it?
If it's one of the, you know, one of these veterans, do they still draft one?
They could.
They might.
You know,
yeah, later
I would rule that out. Sure.
I mean, you certainly don't know for sure any of them. Any of them. If you draft a guy, the two guys, three guys you have, and the guy you sign, to me, you could label them all questions on some level.
I think it'd be interesting if they got a type of player that they don't currently have right now. Like if they got a big bruising inside the tackles type of runner. You know, you've got the third down back in Vereen, supposedly. You've got the sort of shifty outside runner in Ridley who can maybe run a little bit inside too. If you had like a bigger.
Well, we got off about four fullbacks right now, right?
Well, not really count.
Then I don't really count them. I'm talking about like an every down type of back in that way. If they had all those different types of runners on in the same backfield, I think that'd be interesting.
They could have both and Robert Turbin.
He sucks.
Ridley's going to be that guy, and I think that if they add another one, they're going to add a guy in that mold. I think they need another between the tackles guy
like Ridley. Because even if I mean, you kind of have Falk waiting in the wings too with that third down. If he's here,
just
if
won't
he's
seem
not
to
here.
Go away.
No, and working out to planning to play. But we also have to remember, you know, everybody says, well, they've carried five, but they do have the fullbacks, Fred, and that,
right. And that
somewhere
counts.
Has to
right.
count.
Right.
You also have a third tight end this year, in all likelihood, the best third tight end
true.
In football, in Daniel Fells. So you can't say
right.
the
can't
fullback is your third tight end because you have a third tight end. So I'm not sure they could carry five tailbacks. I think it's probably going to be four
along those lines, the Patriots, not the Patriots, but the league owners did vote to increase the roster to 90.
So they voted. A lot earlier than expected.
They didn't just put it through.
Greg Aiello tweeted out yesterday.
No, I know it's a fact.
Happened.
I just don't know how it happened.
Yeah,
Management
I thought
the council voted.
Oh, okay. So the owners didn't.
I thought they were going to wait till the end of May because that's what they were.
It's a little shady.
Yeah. You think so?
A little bit.
Okay.
We tabled
snuck it
to
through.
The owners' meeting. Sounded all right, it starts tomorrow at 4.
Very, very Congress-like.
Yeah, a little weird.
Some
teams won't be.
I don't have a problem
really?
With,
Why?
With the.
Well, the argument against it was teams having to spend extra money, and guys like Cincinnati or whatever, I get assigned these 10 guys to keep up with the Joneses to, you know, be in line with everybody else, and then three of these Jags get hurt and go on IR, and I'm on the hook for an extra $1.5 million or $2 million, and that's against my, you know, cap and everything.
Yeah, but I thought salaries weren't guaranteed until the start of the season.
But if you get, but hurt. If you get on
either have a settlement or an IR or something.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Every year we have these Jags.
There's always
every year Paul and I start joking. I'd pull a hammy if I were him. You know, it's a joke, but if you're paying the guy, if you're Mike Brown and I get to write out, you know, $450,000, that's not funny.
Yeah, and I also think if you can't whittle down 53 players from 80, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? I mean, I suppose it's great to have that depth in training camp because you always have 8 or 10 guys that are unavailable for practice every day. So you want, but I don't know.
It's going to make the daily roster that much harder.
I loved all the analysis, you know, like all the different teams were tweeting out like yesterday, the various guys that covered the various teams around the league. Well, you know, Jets have 68 players and 10 draft picks. So that leaves them, you know, Patriots have, I mean, does it really matter? I mean, they all knew it was going to be 90 anyway. So what's the big difference?
I do think it makes a difference. I mean, you're talking about an extra, you know, 320 guys that now can at least get on the field during the summer and compete.
Well, the good thing about
it's good
this
for the players,
is,
obviously,
the timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in talking to people, the issue was, well, why are we going to do this in May after I already signed all my undrafted free agents?
Right.
You know, now I'm going to, like, reach to sign guys just to fill slots. So this at least makes sense. You can draft, trade, do whatever you
sign your rookies
with
right
your
afterwards.
Idea of this is the limit, not rush around to get 10 more guys after everybody's already done.
I also liked it was funny. I forget who did it because I would like to actually criticize the individual, but someone wrote, you know,
Ian Rappaport?
This counts everybody. You know, the 90 counts everybody, you know, practice squad. There's no practice squad until the cutdowns.
Right.
You don't have a practice squad in the training camp
roster.
Right. Who are you yelling at? Who's he?
I forget. That's why I said
he really doesn't know right now.
No, I don't.
He's calling somebody an idiot, but doesn't know who.
No, I wish it was the AP report. Wasn't it the AP report?
I don't know. It might have been
Jeff Howe.
It might. No.
Usually, never. Usually when you don't say a name, it's Jeff Howe.
Jeff Howe wouldn't make such
How's
a mistake.
How's that working out? Is he
I have no
any
idea.
Closer?
For all I know, he's not interested.
All right.
I have no idea.
Okay. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. So we learned of that, of the 90 increase. And then the other big story that we started to talk about, but I wanted to make sure that we got Patriots stuff out of the way first, was this Mickey Loomis thing.
About IDs first.
And if true, well, either way, I think it's a big story. Because if it's not true, ESPN is in trouble.
Yes.
If it is true, Mickey Loomis is in
big
trouble.
Big trouble.
And
not just with the league.
Right. And if you haven't heard, the allegation is between 2002 and 2004, he had a little way of eavesdropping, you know, electronically on
a little way. I like how you phrased that.
Well, on opposing teams' offense and defense conversations during the game.
Yeah.
And this is huge. This is wiretapping.
Did you see the report?
Yeah.
Did you guys see it?
Not. They played it
on SportsCenter.
Yeah, Beyond the Lines.
Yeah, outside the lines.
Outside the lines. Yeah, I saw it.
That was interesting because they had video of Randy Mueller, who was the GM right before
right.
Who had originally set up the system so that he could hear the Saints coaches and what they were doing.
Which even that I think is illegal. I think you're not allowed to do that either. You're not allowed to set up any type of. Whether it's between your even if it's between your team, any unsanctioned electronic device during a game. So even that, I think, is against
okay,
the rules.
Okay, but it wasn't criminal as far as what Loomis.
How do you know it's unsanctioned?
Well, I don't think.
Because Scott Pioli was in the coach's booth, and he was listening. So what's the difference between whether I'm in the coach's...
On a headset.
Because electronically, it was the key
it's
word
different.
There.
It's different.
Well, it's electronically, no matter how it is.
Yeah.
If you can
hear
it, it's electronic.
But I think it has to be the same for.
I mean, he wasn't overhearing the
voice. Signals.
I think the bottom line is, whatever you do, it has to be the same for each team. There can be no.
But Randy Mueller's may very well have been, like Andy said, above board, and the NFL knew about it.
Yeah.
And this is what we do.
Right.
And
he had a.
This is how we.
He
did
had
it.
A switch to go from offensive coaches to defensive coaches.
Right.
Then when he left and Loomis came
Loomis
in.
Added
Loomis
a switch.
Came in and added,
no.
added two more
they
options.
Had they had taken – no, he didn't.
I
he
know
had
what
it,
he did.
He
I
had it rewired
report.
So that it would be the visiting team's offense and defense.
But it's not just rewired. You also now have to set up a microphone in a certain place, right, so that you're getting that transmission.
Or they're just tapped into the transmitter.
okay, so you have to, you know, get
right. They had
into
to
their,
rewire. Right, they had yeah, to rewire yeah. The system.
Yeah. They had to break rules, NFL rules, USA rules. They had to break a lot of rules to do it.
I don't know about you guys, but I'd be far more troubled about this than the whole bounty thing.
I think for different ways,
this is violating the
I think they're
the
both
integrity
bad
of the
on
game.
The games weren't being
for
played.
Games aren't on the up and up.
For, nope. For once, you know, for different reasons, they're both bad. You know, they're
this
they're
is far worse.
But, you know,
I mean, in terms of humanity, the bounty right. gate is worse.
Bounty
gate is
morally
the NFL,
worse.
Yeah, this is way worse.
Oh yeah,
the games aren't on the up and up.
Right.
It's that number one cardinal rule is you have to have your public believing that the games
sure.
are not fixed.
Right.
And this is a way of fixing games.
You had Mickey Loomis yelling, pass! Run!
So, you know, Bill Polian came out and says he doesn't understand how there could be an advantage or how you would use this.
Oh, because he was doing it for years.
Right.
Oh, what? Did I say that? What?
He also
what?
Had a dome where noise and different things were questioned.
But you know.
Well, they were Orion. Also saying the argument that a lot of Loomis's supporters around the league are saying is that he's not an X's and O's type GM. He doesn't know enough to interpret the signals.
Right.
Which is just laughable.
Stupid. Yeah.
Right. Like it's, you know. Oh my God! It's unbelievable how the people, some people in
the NFL,
football think it's such, you know, science.
Well, the NFL
it's
community
football.
Will rally around itself all the time in all of these situations. That's why I thought the bounty gate thing was something that's rampant because you didn't see any of that,
right?
Because I know that they were all doing it.
Well, that's
and
why
that's how I feel.
Eric just said the what did you say the Loomis people?
Well, his supporters.
I know. Yeah. I wouldn't want to
be
one
of those. I want to be one
you
of
know,
them.
You know, Andy Hart. A Loomis supporter. I don't want that phrase.
This guy's going to go down in like 30 years. But, he's going to be known as one of those figures that was just dirty.
Books will be written.
Yeah.
But no, you know, this
He went from a nobody to books will be written.
But, you know, this is a new story. So we really haven't had the chance other than Polian to hear what other coaches, general managers have to say
about
this.
And it's also important to note that the Saints are saying this is categorically false.
But 1,000%.
But because they're credible.
Right.
But,
no, I'm just saying, you have to give both sides.
I believe them.
If we don't hear any other team saying there's a good chance that a lot of teams are doing crap like this.
Well, you know? I mean, if we're going to dig
that's
down
how
deep.
That's how I feel when you don't hear any defense.
Right.
I mean, Fred,
but when you hear
all the crap here. I mean, there was plenty of reports that Vito Stellino. That happens there.
Right.
I mean, your headphones go out, or I mean, there's only a half a step. Or wasn't it Polian who said, "Oh no, Tom Moore. If I wanted to talk to Peyton, I went out in the hallway."
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
There's little rumblings and smokes everywhere.
You know, Clive Rush, who was a Patriot coach here, told his players when we're on the road, talk about game plan in the hotel because he thought there were wiretaps in the flower pots.
Now, I'm guessing they were ill-prepared for games.
Right. Now, I think he might have been a little bit paranoid, but that, for some reason, that thinking is out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been out there for decades.
The Al Davis, where he bought all those houses.
Right, around the practice field.
I mean,
so they all assume everybody is spying on everybody.
And they are.
You know,
there's stories with Bud Wilkinson when they were winning all those games. He would send people to try out for other teams, learn the playbook in spring and training camp or whatever, and then come back and report to them. I mean, that's how far people would take months out of their lives to pretend to be trying out for another team.
Yep.
These guys are whack jobs. All these NFL coaches and high-level college coaches.
And it's not new.
Whack jobs. Yeah, and they have been for a century.
I was reading a story about Urban Meyer, and he got his start at Ohio State as an assistant years ago. I think it was probably the 80s, the late 80s. Earl Bruce, I think, was the coach at the time. And that was his job, was to ferret out spies. You know, he just had a search and, you know, specific cars that he would look for and all this stuff. You know, really?
It's football.
At some point, just go out and play.
Yeah. That's what we want as fans. Just go out and play the game, and everything's above board.
But it isn't.
You know, but it isn't.
Every edge they can get, they're going
to
try to get.
Well, that's part of my thing that I always say to you, like, you know,
good.
You get mad at me when I say like this the preparation and all the film watch and the films. I just rather would just see teams go out and they run their plays against the other team and you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. You just play. But now it's so far past that. To me, it's not as good as it once was.
So I don't I'm not envious of Roger Goodell at all with the position he's in because he set the tone that he's going to be the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
So now. You know, okay.
What's the next step for Loomis?
Not only has he set precedent, not only has
drawn
he set
and
precedent,
quartered.
But now
tarred and feathered.
You know how? You know the whistleblowers who you know we think there should be whistleblowers
Absolutely.
And protection for whistleblowers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He said, "I want to hear it. Okay, so
he should come out. I don't want to hear
anymore. I don't believe, you know, this is from 2004. I don't believe this is the end of people coming now forward with stuff like this.
Yeah, the question I had was with the Outside the Lines report was why did it suddenly end in 2004? Because he's been there.
Well, the Katrina thing. The
speculation
whole,
was yeah. Katrina sort of put an end to it, but I don't buy it.
The Superdome had to be remodeled and everything, so he probably, you know, didn't put it back in for whatever reason.
And as Andy and I pointed out, wouldn't that be your opportunity to make it better?
Make it better, yeah.
Put better technology in
and hide it?
And that's my thinking is if it worked, he probably did put it back in. Maybe he just wasn't smart enough to really get a benefit out of it. Maybe Polian's right that he didn't get any advantage out of it, and why risk it? I don't know.
I don't buy it.
Any of those could happen, you know.
The only thing that I could possibly buy, and I don't, is that Sean Payton came. And, you know, this was under Hazlitt.
Right.
And maybe Sean Payton, you know, maybe they talked about it, and he said, we're not doing that. We get caught doing that, and you know, but based on Sean Payton, what I know of him,
not doing that, but tear his ACL!
No, right, you know, outside. But outside ACL.
But I can see a guy like Sean Payton saying that, you know, because the more Mickey Loomis thinks he's part of the game day experience, the worse it is for me. I don't want this guy getting involved on game day.
That's a good point.
So I tell him, you know what? No, we're not using that. No. Thanks, but
because
no
it
thanks.
Was, you know, 05, I think, was Katrina, right?
Yeah.
And then 06, Payton comes in with Drew Brees, and maybe they just said, you know, after Katrina, we didn't have time to worry about, you know, with everything else that went on with Katrina, we didn't have necessarily have time to wire our press box properly, and then a new regime comes in, maybe that's why. My question is, why are we finding out about it now?
Well, that's a very good question.
I wonder who decided
there was
to step forward, you know, what?
It was staffers who
8 years later
who worked for the Superdome, right?
Superdome.
Who had to actually do the.
I know, but why 8 years later?
Well, maybe because of the Bounty Gate thing. Maybe they felt emboldened that all right, you know, maybe now's the right time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The whistleblower culture now, it's accepted in the NFL.
It's kind of strange to me.
There was a time where you never ever blow a whistle on anything that you'd see or hear.
Maybe I didn't see the report, so correct me, but. Isn't it possible that they only have proof from 02 to 04? That these people, whoever they are, that's when they worked
that's
there.
When
so
they
we can
there.
Say,
that's possible.
We
yeah.
know it, we saw it, and if you're ESPN, you can't assume.
You can't assume that it went on afterwards.
Because that's when
afterwards.
You get in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
So isn't it possible that they just had a different person wire it or do it?
I suppose,
it
and, yeah.
Can't rule anything out with that organization. They evidently are not afraid to
it's so funny
to cut
too,
any
like,
corner.
They were,
and they'll be coming here August, what is it, 9th?
But they were so like America's team and the Hurricane and Drew Brees, and there was so much support. It seemed like everybody could root for the Saints, and now you're finding out they were the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
it's just why I still say that punt block fixed.
Now, on the other hand, if this isn't true, then what should be the penalty on ESPN?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because this is libel.
I don't know.
I mean, this is suable. I think if you're
well,
the
evidently
Saints.
They're supposedly getting their ducks in a row legally.
The Saints.
And that's the way they're
talking. ESPN is or
no
Saints, Saints are
the Saints.
I would too.
That's the way they're
if
talking.
You, if it absolutely is not true, I would sue.
I would too.
Because this hurts. This is where I can show that I'm losing money. And in court, when you sue for libel or slander, you got to prove
damages.
Some kind of loss,
mm-hmm.
damages. And I think you could prove that.
Oh, I do too.
But
and I think they should. They have to just because you did one thing bad. Doesn't mean everything can be thrown at you and you just assumed you're guilty of everything.
And they are hard cases to prove because you have to prove malice.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what ESPN's axe to grind would be with the Saints, but, you know, I'm sure they can figure out some way. But it was interesting. Judy Batista, our good friend from the New York Times, covers the NFL
and is
here all the time. God. I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's offensive in so many ways, but we won't get into them. She tweeted out.
Cool tweets.
As a point of comparison, after the Bounty Gate scandal, Loomis and Payton weren't to be heard from for quite some time. And this comes out yesterday, and almost immediately, Loomis went right to his Bobo, Jay Glazer, and, you know, 1,000% false.
Right.
And went, you know, in depth about how couldn't been any more strenuously objecting. To the report, so
and it was also Glazer who went. Remember, people were saying how
he went
Jay
silent.
Glazer
it was radio
doing
silence. Remember,
so it's not just they have something to say, but that he is willing to or
right
reporting it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that makes it. Well, this obviously Loomis is telling the truth. I don't buy anything that that guy is selling now, at this point.
One thing, though, that kind of I would raise questions on is the source are Superdome employees that, that did this work. If you're Mickey Loomis, how much do you tell these employees, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm doing it for? Or do you just say, here, move this wire over here?
Well,
I think the people that are doing it aren't idiots.
Right. I mean, yeah. if you're wiring an entire stadium, you know what's going where. That's you're the
well,
IT people.
Most places.
Yeah.
Eddie Mac does it.
But, so if they what know, if they say, all right, we're being told we have to. Andy's right, though. These people are smart enough to know.
I mean, that's their
what
job is
doing.
To know why wires are connected and what they do. So I find it hard to believe they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. The other team's coaches' headsets are going into the home team's GMs.
They're not idiots.
They're not stupid.
Also, the disadvantage of not owning your own stadium.
Well, you still have employees that would know stuff.
Well, I mean, but you have to now have an outside company help you with doing stuff.
Why exactly are you pointing that out?
And what are you saying?
Too many.
Lunch here yet?
Yeah. You don't want people.
Awkward. Look at Freddie. He's like, what am I saying?
It's the color of his shirt right now.
He really is.
That salmon-y pink type of.
All right.
I took away his rights to make fun of my salmon polo shirt that he always makes. Every time
did.
I wear it, he makes fun of it.
You did. What color is this actually?
Pink.
It's a dark pink.
It's hot pink.
It's a very similar color to the shirt. I like the shirt.
It's like highlighter pink.
I don't. It has a pocket.
Well, I don't love the pocket.
What's wrong with the pocket?
Andy just
you're wearing
like
a shirt with
material.
A pocket
like
right now. Long sleeve shirts always have pockets, but short sleeves.
Yesterday, you wore a shirt from the 2001 Super Bowl that you could have painted on.
That probably
like
didn't fit him in the 2001.
It was also a child's large.
My God,
wasn't the shirt? It's me. Every shirt looks that way.
Oh really? God. You're just growing.
Actually, I'm not. I'm shrinking. So I can't imagine what it looks
like. Your cycle.
What? You idiots! I've worn that shirt for a decade, and you never told me that it was too tight.
You didn't know yourself that it was too tight when you put it on?
No, all shirts are a little snug.
He likes that.
Me and Harold Nash, we have that problem.
All right.
You have problems.
Yeah, sure. Radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the phones. Derek from the University of Arizona. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Paul, how was your vacation?
It was great. Thanks for asking. Excellent weather. Great time had by all.
He showed Eric his tan line.
He's very limber.
Yeah,
as we know.
I would have killed to see that foot to the nose thing. You guys got to get a picture of that.
Nah.
It's just not that impressive. I don't really get it.
Let's not recreate it, though.
It's the intrigue, Paul. It's the intrigue. I've seen you in person. I can't see the event happen, but just picturing it, it just goes a whole lot differently in my head.
But it's better in your imagination.
Right.
It's like when I saw that blonde, what's her name?
Naked. Kelly Pickler?
No. It was one blonde and saggy, gross boobs. It was like, oh, much better in my imagination.
That's Paul.
Okay, sorry.
It's all good. I'm kind of switching back to the veteran running backs you guys were talking about real quick.
Yes.
And then I have a draft question. But the veteran running backs, I mean, I think for of all the guys, I think Grant's the guy I would want to pick up. I think he has the most, like, dynamic capabilities of any of them. I think he could probably produce the most. I've watched Hightower a lot here because he was played for the Cardinals for a while.
Yeah,
and, yep. I mean, he's a good, you know, kind of change of pace, catch back. I mean, he does all right. I mean, he's definitely not a burner, but, you know, he stumbles a lot. And the die just doesn't interest me at all. I mean, he just made a glass, and I don't know. I don't like him. I think the guys they have will do just as better, where I think the other guys, Hightower and Grant, specifically Grant, could probably upgrade the backfield a little bit more. But I'm really just...
Okay, good talking.
I didn't do that. We just lost
probably everything. I knowing how those monkeys work.
I didn't know about Hightower's fumbling problem, if that is accurate, what Derek said, and he would know because he watched him with the Cardinals. That would sour me on him as well, because otherwise I kind of like him out of those three guys a little bit more. I think he has a nose for the goal line, and that's one thing I'm sort of unsure about with Ridley, is whether or not – and he hasn't had the opportunity. I'm not saying he can't do it.
No, I'm not – based on need, I think Grant is the better guy, because if you're not sold on Ridley, I don't think you have a quote-unquote starting running back. And I think Grant is a starting running back.
I'm not
sure Hightower is. I know Vereen isn't at this point. I know Woodhead isn't. So I think based on that, a guy you think I can count on him giving me 10 to 12 carries, Grant fills that role more than any of the other
guys. I think that my problems with Grant are A, injury-related, and B, I think he's proven to be a disgruntled guy as part of a committee. Could be. I don't think he liked that in Green Bay when he came back from his injuries. I don't think he liked being, A, sharing the load with your boy Starks, and B, really, they didn't run the ball.
And do
and that's what he's going to he's going to be getting more into that here.
When you go in with eyes open rather than you're the big dog, this is my backfield, and then all of a sudden you get unseated. Yeah. I think there's
that's
a different
point.
When you go in knowing I'm going to win, I'm going to play with Tom Brady, and I'm going to share carries, you know what the situation is rather than they took away your role. They
would
cut
any,
you off.
All of these guys come in at about the same money, you think?
Yeah,
maybe
probably
a little bit more.
Probably a little more for Grant, because he has
probably
the better
be the
resume.
Most expensive.
I mean, Hightower is he might be a PUP guy. He's coming off an ACL midseason last year, so he might not even be an option to play right away. He could be potentially Woodhead insurance. If you think Woodhead, like I do, had a terrible year last year and maybe could be on his way going downhill and out the door, now maybe Vereen and Hightower are your long-term scat back, change your pace backs. And maybe you could sign two, Hightower and Grant.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Tyler is in California. Hey, Tyler. Tyler.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
First off, I just want to say that Andy carries the show.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was serious?
He's got the biggest arms. That's true.
Yeah. I just had a quick question about Tom Brady. Like we all know, he's getting up there in age. And I know it's early, but I just want to get a prediction from you guys about his numbers next year.
Yeah.
I got him going 32 TDs, 14 picks, and 4,300
yards. 4,300
yards?
Okay.
Yeah.
No chance. Yeah. Be 33 touchdowns.
I'm just going to hang up. And you guys talk about it, all right?
Okay, man.
That all was right. A phenomenal phone call.
You,
I want to thank you, Tyler.
Yeah. Tyler,
those are the people that think you carry the show.
Tyler thinks that Brady's numbers are going to come down
high
a little
life.
Bit. Well,
yards.
Yards-wise and a little bit more interceptions, right? Because
about the same, no? What do you throw?
What, you have 12 last year?
12 or 13, didn't you?
It's always either 12
it's
or
14. Always 12
or
14. That's what he throws, right. Except for that one year he threw
four. I don't know what the big complaint is. My point is.
He threw four, and then he threw eight, no seven.
Who was complaining? Tyler thinks that, you know, I thought he was intimating that he's getting up there in age. And
well, that's true. That's a fact.
I know, but he is getting yards, up there in age. The most important thing is production.
But his yards would be down a little bit.
A little
bit. For 43, he was close to five last year, right?
Yeah.
Did he get over?
Five.
Yeah, he got over five.
So he's down 700.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, his yards would be down based on 4,300.
But then if they.
Which could mean that the running game is improved.
Could mean the running game is improved.
Yeah, maybe Ridley at 1,500.
Right. So.
NCAA.
You know. Look,
what does NCAA mean?
No chance at all.
Yeah, I mean, we also got an email
National Collegiate
along the same lines. Is how much do you think that, you know, Belichick is thinking about that window, that Brady window? And
not
I think
at all.
I think
he can't wait.
I think that I think it's in the back of their mind, but I don't think they're worried about the production going down at this point.
I agree with you, Freddie.
Nor should they.
No, I can't wait.
There's no indication.
Even when hurt last year or the year before, everything has been on the rise, the numbers.
That doesn't mean like if for some reason they had done a trade and because of that trade they now had the number one pick in the draft, they wouldn't take Andrew Luck. Of course they would. I think they would still, if the opportunity came, they would still seize it. But
I don't think he looks at that any different than he looks at left tackle with Matt Light or Nate Sol. You know, everything he does, he looks at the now. He always says short and long term. I think he does that at quarterback.
The current situation sets the value for every opportunity.
And he may feel that Mallett is already the guy.
Right.
Right?
Maybe.
But I think he's aware of it, but I don't think he's, you know, the window's closing, got to load up and win this year.
Speaking of Brady, you see
that
picture of him? Was it in the Globe, I guess?
Yeah.
With that hat and
that
the
was
sweater. What's he doing?
On Newberry Street?
I mean, I love you, Tom, but you got to stop with this.
Yeah, you look terrible.
You know, you can't do favors for people and wear their clothing.
I don't know how a guy can
you're giving him way too much benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I think that
he likes to dress that way.
No,
that is clear.
No, but that picture was at a new clothing company.
It doesn't matter. He likes to dress. He was at the Lakers game
but
in the same outfit.
The problem wasn't what he took
took
a picture
somewhere.
Well,
that's true, Tom.
I mean, you know, I say problem in quotes. I mean, who really cares? The guy, whatever the guy decides he wants to dress and look like,
I care.
That's an individual choice. But he,
a little too much.
He's getting ridiculous. You know, and I say criticism in quotes too, because who's really criticizing him? But
gossip columns.
The point kind of is stuff. What he's wearing, not where he is and taking the picture.
I know, but I was thinking maybe it was their clothing and he was doing
them. Fake glasses.
Those glasses are the same glasses he wore at the Lakers
Anyone
game.
Anyone who wears fake glasses is an a-hole.
Why was he wearing? Yeah, why, that's true. Why was he wearing glasses?
Well, we're fashionable. We're assuming that they're
the word
fake.
Is that they're
it's
fake.
It's an accessory, just like the hat. It's all part
it's
of the look.
A very common thing in the fashion
fake
world.
Glasses?
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
for the look.
It's a look.
Wow.
So it's a look in the trendy L.A.
Somebody's got to pull him aside.
Hollywood.
Why don't you do it?
What's the matter over there, Flash? What do you got,
Peppy? That was like the look of the NFL draft last year. Remember, like, five or six guys in the first round came out with those big,
ugly,
fake
but like, Von Miller wears glasses. His aren't fake. He wears glasses. But why would you ever put on fake glasses? Everybody who has glasses spends their whole life getting LASIK or something
contacts,
to get rid of the glasses.
Yeah.
And now you want to wear glasses.
Yeah, but with his money, maybe there's special glasses that allow him to see through girls' dresses.
Whose money?
Brady. Maybe he can afford that technology.
Like,
or
that,
guy's
like
pants.
That commercial for Lens Crafters?
Yeah, x-ray glasses.
You ever see the guy, he's riding on a bus and there's a girl reading a book like eight rows up and he's just,
I saw that.
No chance.
But yeah, just the whole style, the whole the paperboy, the 1930s paperboy look.
It is a terrible look.
I stand corrected.
Well, he's worn that hat since his rookie year.
Has he?
Type of hat. Remember?
Really? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, when he.
Oh, he has worn.
Yeah,
those before.
I've seen him wear scally caps, but not. I know exactly what Fred's talking about.
Yeah.
It's a 1930s loose fitting one, and I haven't seen him wear any of those.
I think he has a couple press conferences a year.
I've seen him wear regular.
When he took over for Drew, he started wearing those.
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Will Allen, who's standing by. We'll have that right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Gentlemen, there's nothing special about tonight. Tonight's underrated. Tonight is free of expectations. Tonight you can't be disappointed. It's just another night. That's why tonight could be the greatest night of your lives. It's on nights like tonight when you take a sip of that ice-cold Budweiser and jump on stage. It's when you stay up until the sun comes up. It's when you end up at a party when you don't know a single person's carrying you on their shoulders. Gentlemen, you were conceived on a night like tonight. So crack open a crisp, cold Budweiser. Put on your Saturday night outfit and make tonight the greatest night of your life. Great times awaiting. Grab some Buds.
Please drink responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Want the most in-depth analysis of the Patriots 2012 draft? Thursday, April 26th, join PFW in Progress for a very special live edition during the first round of the 77th NFL Draft. Hear all 32 picks live as they happen. Get the latest scoop on trade rumors and get instant reaction from the staff of PFW. Put the kids to bed early and get your mock drafts ready for the PFW in Progress 2012 Draft Special.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we are pleased to be joined by Will Allen, new cornerback for the New England Patriots. Welcome, Will.
Thanks for having me, boss.
So tell me how
he
this
is
all...
actually the boss.
He's the boss.
Oh, ours,
boss.
Anyway.
So he's our the boss. Boss.
Well, he's my boss.
You got to be the
he's
boss.
Not your
boss.
Shirt like this.
He has a pink shirt on.
That's right.
He must be the boss.
Gotta... So Will, tell me how this all happened. Was this something that you and your agent or have been talking about for a while with the Patriots? Was this a fast thing that just kind of happened out of the blue?
It was a fast thing. It's something that I've talked about, like, with my family. You know, I think all players throughout this league, you know, when you have a team that's you know, has a great reputation for winning, you know, you admire that. So having an opportunity to come here and play, I was grateful for it.
But this is the second time you've tried to come here.
Yeah, I came here for a workout. Miami released me at the end of training camp last year.
Mm-hmm.
I came here immediately afterwards for a workout, and I went back and I signed with Miami.
And you signed with Miami probably because of what the Patriots did to Miami, right?
We're not going to comment on
that. Oh,
it.
Okay. All right.
I still got a lot of friends down there, but that probably definitely had something to do with
okay.
it.
Okay. So you've been around for a while. You're a seasoned veteran. At one time, and maybe you still are, you were a speed demon. You were a track guy. What 4.2?
What did you see, Fred?
4.29.
4.29.
You said that word. Yeah, I wasn't a track guy, but okay. I was fast.
All right, sorry about that.
I wasn't a track
guy, but you were fast.
I was fast. Yeah.
What do you got left? What if you were time right now? What do you think you'd be at?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I run as fast as I need to.
Economical, right?
But 4.29, is that still part of your game, your speed? Is that something you fall back on?
I think if you ever heard people talk about, like, you know, when you first come to the league, your athleticism is a lot higher than your knowledge of the game. And as you keep going, you know, they kind of meet, and that's when you're in your prime. And then as you keep going, your athleticism goes down a little bit, and you just keep getting smarter and learning a lot more about the game. So I would definitely say that I'm not a 4.2 guy anymore. And the fastest I ran, by the way, was a 4.22.
Okay.
Just to put that out there.
Wow. Get your facts right.
Nah, I'm just busting.
Well, that's hey. You know, we
but
no,
I would definitely say right now, my thinking of the game, knowledge of the game, helps me the most. You know, it helps me get where I need to be.
With that experience, and you have a new teammate in Devin McCourty, who, like you, was a first round pick, like you, had production early, 7 picks, goes to a Pro Bowl, had a down year last year. As a guy who's experienced a decade in the NFL, how does that happen? How does a guy have a great year, and then the next year it seems like everybody's throwing at him, everybody's completing on him, and how do you get yourself out of that? Is it physical? Is it film work? Is it mental? How do you get out of that?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's physical, it's mental. You know, maybe you have injuries, or, you know, sometimes it's mental. You get in a little slump, and maybe you don't believe in yourself as much, which at a position at cornerback, you know, we can't allow that to happen. I'm sure it probably didn't happen, but I think – when people get a chance to check you out and they kind of game plan against you and stuff like that, you know, and once you understand what teams are trying to do to you, I think you'll have a better chance of defeating that. But I mean, everybody knows he's an exceptional player, and I think last year is whatever it is last year, you know, and I expect big things from him this year.
And are you a guy that's comfortable in that mentoring role at this point in your career? Is that something you'd like to do?
I have no problem with, you know, helping anybody out, you know, if I can. But right now, I'm focused on trying to get myself right. You know, when you come here and if you ever got a chance to see these guys work out, it's the real deal. And so right now I'm just trying to get myself in a position where I'm able to be the best player that I can be and possibly be in the best shape I've been in my years in the league.
Well, now you've played against this team several times as a Dolphin. Yeah. You've seen this secondary. How do you think you can fit in at this point in your career?
Bottom line, I just feel like I can play, man. So I feel like I can fit in wherever they need me to fit in. You know, wherever that void is that I may need to fill in or fit, I'm willing to do that. So, like I said, at this point, I'm just trying to get myself in the best possible shape, you know, just so that I can put myself in a position to help out wherever I need to help out.
Does that mean safety is an option?
I'll play,
I'll
play anything. I just want to play, man. Like, I love this game, dude, so I just want to play. I'm not ready to give up my baby yet. So I'm just ready to play wherever.
Did you think that was a possibility that you're in your second decade here in the NFL? That
that's what it tends to
end.
Well, statistics show that, right?
Yep.
So I'm willing to do whatever.
But you don't think you're – I know Terrell Buckley, Paul, you probably remember this.
T-ball. Oh, yeah.
I'll know when I'm done. There'll be certain routes
that I can't
cover.
He said there was a route that I can't cover, and when I can't cover that, I'll know it's time to get out. But he wouldn't tell us what it was.
Yeah, he didn't want us to spread it around. But do you feel like that? You'll know I can't compete anymore. I don't – because you talked about your athleticism and your kind of experience.
Yeah, I think as a player, you know when that time comes. You know, you may not try to – you know, let anybody else know that. But I think as a player, you definitely know that. When you're out there in between those white lines and you're worried about something, I think that's when it's time to give it up.
Well, along those lines, this is my opinion, that
this
on this team,
and he's the boss.
Well,
this ought to be good.
No, but I don't want to speak for anyone else and act like I know something that, you know, other people don't. But it's my opinion that because of Bill Belichick, a guy who is football smart can succeed under him more than maybe other coaches. And Belichick will use that because from what we understand and what we've been told, he's so game specific. You know, the team we're playing this week, we might do something completely different against this team than on defense than we did last week. So
right.
It would seem to me that the smarter you are as a football player, the more you can take advantage of Bill Belichick. Is that something that you're thinking as well or have heard or you know?
I think that's across the board throughout the whole league. I think the smarter you are, you're going to put yourself in the best possible situation or position in the course of a play.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help you no matter what team you play for, what scheme you're in. I think when athleticism comes into a huger play, I think it's when you just play a ton of man-to-man, then, you know, there's no hiding in that. You know, so – you're out there in the fire. There's no hiding that. But I think as far as from a knowledge standpoint, I think that can help you in any scheme. And I think he does have that kind of reputation throughout the league of just being a great game plan coach.
Well, and using a guy, you know, this guy can do this really well, so I'm going to use him. You know, he doesn't try to put a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
You know, he's not trying to force guys to do things that they don't. But at the same time, he expects guys to understand their role.
Right.
You know, his big mantra is do your job. Just do your job. Don't try to freelance. You know, are these all the things that you've heard or
I've heard them since I've been playing football, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard those since I've been playing Pop Warner football. Do your job, don't try to do anybody else's, 11 people on the field, we're a team, all that stuff. So I've been hearing that for a long time. I think some people preach it a lot more than others and some people hold you accountable to it a lot more than others. But I think the teams that are good and the units that are good are guys that do that, you know, do their job and do their job to the best of their ability and also know who you are.
Right.
Know who you are as far as a player, what your limitations are, what you do well, what you don't do so well, so that you can kind of counter what people are going to try to do to you.
I wanted to get back to something you mentioned a while ago, Will, and about how the real deal, when you work out with these guys, you see that it's the real deal here.
It's the truth.
I wanted to ask you some specifics. So, you know, what have you noticed that's a little bit different about what you've done here in your short time with the Patriots as opposed to Miami or the Giants or anywhere
else? I think, you know, just to make it simple, when you go to college and you enter the college off-season program or off-season conditioning program, it's about getting you better. You know, it's about making you be a better player than when you started to when the time that program ends. You know, in a lot of places in the league, I think it's about maintenance. You know, we got this guy, that guy. We want to make sure we don't get those guys hurt. You know, and it's just about maintenance, you know, but it's not so much about let's see if we can get this guy faster. Let's see if we can get this guy quicker. Let's see if we can get him this much stronger or this much more explosive. I think immediately coming here, I saw myself like, wow, you know, this can help me turn the clock back.
Wow.
I wanted to ask you about, obviously, you're competing for
a
job.
Big shout out to Harold, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Harold Nash.
Yeah.
Shout out
right,
to Harold.
Right, right.
And his big guns. Biggest arms on any strength coach I've ever seen.
Hey, you know what's crazy about him, dude? He'll get in there and do the workout with you. Oh, that's well, the most impressive.
That's right. Clear.
Yeah, he's like, he'll pick you up and
he's
throw
one of the
you
biggest cornerbacks I've ever seen. Too, right. He was a defensive back.
Yeah. Yeah, he's bulked up a little.
Yeah, a little bit.
Obviously, you're competing for a job, you know, a role on defense, but you're also going to get to compete against Tom Brady and this offense. Have you, you know, we've talked about this. Chad Johnson could be a third-team wide receiver in training camp. I mean, you could legitimately be getting reps against Dante Stallworth, Chad Johnson, Anthony, you know, all these first-round picks, guys with a lot of experience. How intriguing and exciting is that to compete against those guys every single morning?
That's where you get better. You know, I can honestly say that the teams that I've been on where the guys that were on our offense on that particular team, if that offense was able to give you that good a look, you know, games on Sundays are easier. You know, so that is definitely intriguing because – I've also been on teams where, you know, you can cover those guys, some of those guys in your sleep, you know. But not saying nothing, not taking anything for granted. You know, I think when you can get that kind of work in practice, it's going to make you a better player and you can be better on game day.
Well, as far as watching film, there's nobody that watches more film than Gerard Mayo. So you stick with him. He's got all the film. He's got it categorized in databases. Oh, yeah. You just stick with him. He'll.
That's why he's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he plays at that level.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He lives it, sleeps it, breathes it. Most important, when you're in Miami, did you go to Disney World?
Yeah. I got kids, man. I got three kids.
Okay.
So I actually went to Universal for Easter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, and that was like a humbug thing. I woke up on a Saturday morning and just grabbed the gang, called the travel agent, see if you could find us a room. She found one. I told everybody they had 30 minutes to get their bags and get in the car.
Nice. Wow.
So, where'd you stay?
We stayed at Royal Pacific.
Okay. I was just down there last week at the Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
with
okay,
my kids.
Cool.
We had a great time right outside of Universal.
Actually, no, my bad. We stayed at Portofino.
He goes so many times, you can't remember where
right.
he stayed.
I don't remember, man.
Well, that's great. So now that you're here, are you here for good? Are you traveling back and forth?
At this point, my family's not coming up, so I shoot home on Fridays, come back on Sunday.
Okay. Well, look, Will, you know, congratulations. Good luck.
Thanks.
You know, we can use you. you know, one thing about it, we're on the team
in the booth.
Here.
In the booth, y'all want me to come back to the booth?
Anytime you want to come here. But
you have an
there too.
You have an absolute open invitation for that.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
But you know, I'm a fan. These guys hate the Patriots, but
you got me surrounded by.
No,
it.
Yeah. No.
But you know, it's clear the Patriots they were developing in defensive secondary last year, made a lot of changes kind of midstream, so. If you can come in and contribute, you can have a good home here. I'm telling you.
Fred will like you. You know, you'll have that goal.
You talked about turning back the clock. This is a good place to do that because we need you. We need you.
But he's very sensitive. If you give up a completion, he's going to be throwing stuff and yelling at you.
I'm going to be throwing stuff and yelling at myself.
All right.
Fit in. Those are the T-Buck.
Will Allen, thanks for joining us on PFW in Progress. Again,
no
good luck.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources. along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Gentlemen, there's nothing special about tonight. Tonight's underrated. Tonight is free of expectations. Tonight, you can't be disappointed. It's just another night. That's why tonight could be the greatest night of your lives. It's on nights like tonight when you take a sip of that ice-cold Budweiser and jump on stage. It's when you stay up until the sun comes up. It's when you end up at a party when you don't know a single person is carrying you on their shoulders. Gentlemen, you were conceived on a night like tonight. So crack open a crisp, cold Budweiser. Put on your Saturday night outfit and make tonight the greatest night of your life. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds.
Please drink responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Want the most in-depth analysis of the Patriots 2012 draft? Thursday, April 26th, join PFW in Progress for a very special live edition during the first round of the 77th NFL Draft. Hear all 32 picks live as they happen. Get the latest scoop on trade rumors and get instant reaction from the staff of PFW. Put the kids to bed early and get your mock drafts ready for the PFW in Progress 2012 Draft Special.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW Practice.
Now he's a DJ from the 70s.
Apparently, there was something wrong with the encoder. So on that Will Allen interview, we all sounded like the Chipmunks. But
I'm going operator error.
Greg from Southern Cal says, I love the interviews being part of the show, but is there any particular reason all of you sound like someone sped up a cassette tape? Did someone kick you all in the nuts? Are you partaking in helium? What the hell is going on in the booth? It does add some comedy to the show.
So you people think I'm just being mean when I call Kevin an idiot.
By the way, I just ran my 10K in training on the way to a half marathon. Have any of you done a 5K, 10K, or half marathon?
5K, 10K, not half marathon yet.
No. Anyway, good luck on that. Yeah, so sorry about that. Hopefully we'll get it fixed for the replay. When most people listen to the show, they'll hear us in our correct voice.
It was mildly,
I don't know what happened. The encoder machine? Was it coding it wrong or something like that? I don't know.
Sure, it was the encoder.
Hasn't happened before, though.
No. All right, webradio at pitches.com, 508-298-0398. Want to thank Will Allen for coming in. And that was a quick interview. It really wasn't that quick, but it seemed quick because it was sped up.
Until you started babbling and couldn't say success.
Success. Well, that's all right. I like him, though. Nice guy.
Oh, he's very nice.
Real nice guy.
I thought the tone of our interview at some point, and not really intentionally, but just took a, you're an old guy, you used to be fast, you used to be good kind of tone to it.
Well, I mean, he's been
Otis Smith would have called us out on that.
Well, what other story is there with him at this point?
I mean, you were one asking the questions, Andy, so what do you...
I was the only one?
No, it's, are you the only one that didn't do that?
No, I'm not. I'm saying we all did it. Okay. We all had a tone of, you're an old guy, blah, blah, blah.
Because well, that's really all we know about him.
I know.
Well, he was a first-round pick from Syracuse, played with the Giants, played with the Dolphins. His bio in the media guide
saying,
wasn't really...
O.T.I.S. Smith would have called us out on it.
Oh, he would
I'm not dead. There would have been some tone or something.
I'm never tired.
Right.
Which is what he kind of said to us when we intimated that perhaps the end was near.
And then the end was near.
In more relevant information, our buddies next door in the studio at ESPN Boston talked to Wes Welker. Wes has been on ESPN. Evidently, he was asked point blank by our boy Pac-Man about June minicamp. And he said that he is thinking, I'm probably not going to attend, but things could change.
Was if Welker's, I sign a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I think that you can infer from that that he will likely be skipping the mandatory minicamp. Right. And he continues, it's really not a route I thought I'd ever take because it's not me. I feel like it's just kind of been the spot I've been put in. And Mike Reese transcribed some of these quotes and put them on Twitter. That's why I'm reading
them. I think that's
a
little bit of a contradictory statement right there, where I really never expected to do that because it's not me. Mm-hmm. All right, to do what? Hold out?
To not come to a camp
yeah, right. because of the situation, mm-hmm. but yet
right.
he's doing it.
Right.
So
right.
it is him.
Not
no,
really. He said I was put in that situation or however.
By the tag. And I kind of agree with him.
No, I'm not saying that he should go. I'm not faulting him, but I think that statement's a little contradictory because obviously he's thought about it. What if they tag me? And he in that statement says, that's not me. I'm not a guy to hold out. But he is a guy to hold out.
But he's in that situation. That's the little bit of leverage that he has.
Right.
And he's not really holding out. He's
right.
not signing
no,
his contract.
Right.
He wants,
no, I understand that. Know. But some guys go anyway, They sign that waiver.
How many guys have gone?
I don't know.
I wouldn't. I sure as hell wouldn't.
I'm not faulting him for not going.
Are some, but I don't think there's many that are in the situation that Welker is, where you're 8, 9, 10 years into a career and you get franchised, and that's a really, really big year that you lose it off your earning power. I think the guy from the Falcons signed it, Brent Grimes, the cornerback, who's a younger player. Mm-hmm. I think he signed his tender. I think I saw that on ESPN earlier.
No. I'm saying who just signs the waiver and goes. People sign the tender and
show up. The tender and show up, but not the waiver.
Who doesn't
the waiver?
Sign the tender and shows up?
My bad.
Has anybody done that?
Not that
I don't
think
know.
Of.
I don't know.
I certainly wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do either. I mean, Welker got screwed by the situation. Let's be honest.
Not by the Patriots.
And part of it
we
was...
want to be specific on that.
No.
We're not getting screwed by the Patriots.
No. But I'm even going further back. Even if you say he should have held out somewhere in his old contract, I'm outperforming this by $1 billion. Well, the best chance probably would have been after year three, right? And what's year three? Tore his ACL, right? Mm. And then he came back for 1 year to prove himself.
So circumstances, unfortunate circumstances.
Like that would be the time frame you'd be thinking, I got 2 years left. I'm still a 100-catch guy 3 years in a row. F you pay me, so to speak.
Right.
And
he had
he
to come back
that.
And prove it, and he did.
So he got screwed by the contract that he signed because he outperformed it. Then he got screwed by bad luck when he got hurt. And now he's getting screwed, this is from his perspective, by just the franchise tag, which is good business for the Patriots.
Right.
So it's just a tough situation.
Yeah, I would advise any player to not go until you have to,
But I mean, I also would advise the Patriots to use the franchise tag.
Of course.
He's 31 years old. He's taken a lot of hits. You have this at your disposal for 2 years if you really want to. That's just good business. I'm sorry, Wes.
Yeah.
And you'll get, if you're lucky, you'll get $20 million out of it. So over a 7-year deal, you'll have gotten $40 million. So you're close to $6 million.
I mean, do you
a
think
year.
There's a chance that the Patriots, open up the camps and see what they've got and say, this is it, Wes?
Nope.
You franchise or nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
oh,
you
I
meant,
don't,
like,
yeah.
pull the tender
I
back
cut
and
him.
Say, go ahead.
Oh, No, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion that he'll sign a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Unless it's one that's very, very friendly for the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah. So there is a chance, and what would you
chance
put
of what?
Of him not playing this year.
No, there's zero chance of that. You didn't ask that.
That's my next question. Don't get all defensive.
I think you said it as a statement. You said, so there is a chance.
Is there a chance that the Patriots could say, you know, we're not going to negotiate a long-term contract with you. And because of that, Wes gets upset and
holds out. No.
I mean, I think you have to say there's a chance.
I think there is a chance, especially after
I agree with Andy that it's not a big chance.
But after what Wes just said, you know, I didn't expect myself to be in this position. Well, maybe in 3 months he might not expect himself.
Yeah, but he also said,
an awful lot of money.
$9 million.
It is.
That's half my last contract. Yeah, I mean, I don't see him doing it, but I can't say it's out of the realm. I'll tell you, you said that you would advise your guy, if you were the agent, to not go as long as you could.
Right.
I agree with that. I think you also have to be prepared, if you're in the Welker camp, to not just make it a symbolic thing. I'm going to miss mini camp. I'm going to miss training camp even. You have to say, I'm going to take this all the way to the season and be prepared to even sit out a game. Because otherwise, you don't really get the attention. Because I think right now the team is probably thinking the way Andy just said. You know, it's $9.5 million. He ain't gonna pass that up. He'll be back, and he knows everything that he's got to do. He's on the page with. I mean, it doesn't matter to the Patriots if obviously they want him in part of all this stuff, but it doesn't really hurt the Patriots if he's not.
Right,
right.
And Wes has to know that and be prepared to say, I need to do something to hurt them,
right,
to make sure they know I'm serious.
But then it becomes a big game of chicken.
Yes,
because you got Wes who's saying, okay, I can lose whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, $700,000, $600,000, a game check. And you're hoping, I guess, if you're Wes, that they struggle offensively. And after the game, Brady goes to Bill.
Right.
What the hell? I mean, I need Welker. Get him in here. Do what you got to do to get him in here.
Right.
It's a tough one.
It
and
is.
Now it's which side folds quicker? Do the Patriots say, okay, here's 4 years, $36 million?
Right.
Or does he say, whoa, I gave up $700,000. Now you're telling me to sit out another week and give up $1.5 million.
Right. And on the converse, you take the risk of, Patriots are fine without him.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
does, you know, and Wes and Tom,
but that's
obviously
not really a risk for Wes, right? Because, I mean, are they going to say, no, don't show up? So even if they're fine, you go, all right, I lost.
Right.
They put
right
up 500
back
yards,
and you get
I signed the tender, and I joined the team, and I make 9
million. You get the 16-week version of 9.5 instead of 17.
Right,
yeah.
You know, so you lost a little bit of money, like Andy said, $700,000 or $800,000, whatever it would be.
Yep.
But do you want, I wonder, you know, as close as Tom and Wes are, you know, do they talk and, you know, Wes is, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I need you to really bitch about this. You know?
You think Brady would do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's a good question.
I mean, this is something that he has done when he's lost his weapons, right?
But I think he's genuinely done it. I don't think he's ever done it because Deion Branch said,
can you go cry a little?
Right.
But
does he put the team before one of his buddies?
But if in his mind he's putting the team first by getting his buddy.
Yes, that's my point. I don't think Tom would do it if he didn't believe in it.
Right. But I'm sure he believes Wes is great and Wes is.
And he might
needed.
Not. He might not need any
way.
Coaxing to do it.
Exactly,
no.
Eric. Exactly. I think this is how he would probably feel.
He'll take off his Clark Kent glasses and save the day.
This is how he would feel, I think, anyway, if Wes
I recognize
were
him with glasses. I thought it was some home.
So I think, you know, Wes could then say, you know,
man. Hobo? Hobo? Is that what you were going with?
And if you're Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft, who Brady probably has a direct line to, you say, look, Tom, worry about your job. This is a business deal, and what happens will happen, but don't worry about it.
Don't tell me not to worry about it. I got 3 years
left. Well, that my next question is, what is his reaction? Right. What is his reaction when he's told that? Because that's what I would say to him if I was Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft.
I got 3 years left. You wasted 06. You're not wasting 12.
You know? So.
Right? Isn't that what he would say? Or could say, potentially?
And then I would say, okay, then get over here and start working with your receivers.
You know what it would probably
happen?
Like
$25,000 pyramid.
He would say. Then he'd go home that night and tell Giselle the story, and she'd say, you need to man up, walk back in there, and tell him how it is.
Come on now. He's our quarterback.
This is a fun little exercise. We should do this more often.
I wish we could get Brady on the show so that Andy could say that to him.
Well,
were
you
here
when Will Allen first came in? I know you came in right as Will Allen did.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking at the fat head of Brady on the door.
Yeah.
And he was laughing at the, you know,
at the mustache?
The fake mustache that we have under there. And we had mentioned, you know, he doesn't really come into the studio anymore.
He barely comes to the stadium.
All right, 508-298.
Imagine if he was on this show.
That's what I'm saying.
How many times I'd have to say, in all fairness, Tom, I have to tell you, I've been a little bit critical of X, Y, and Z over the years.
I think you could word that in a way that wasn't confrontational, but yet.
Like I did with Mayo.
Exactly.
But I'd have a lot of them. There'd be like one after another. And those glasses, water slide with the hands
up,
and
you'd have to finish off.
I'm really mad that
I think you're the greatest.
I'm really mad that you threw for over 5,000 yards and got us to the Super Bowl.
And
it's terrible.
And Fred's back.
And if you had hit Welker in stride, we would have had a ring and not just a runner-up trophy.
Yeah.
That's how it would all go.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Paulie in L.A., who was nice enough to get us lunch today.
Oh, thank you, Paulie.
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, Paulie. Welcome. Thank you guys for the great shows. I love the interview.
Even when we sound like chipmunks?
That's my favorite part, because Andy sounds like a normal human being.
Hey.
Actually, Andy, I really would appreciate it if you'd stop pretending to be Giselle's voice, because it really ruins it for me.
She's not that hot anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
Another thing he wouldn't say if Tom were in.
Right. She's not as tasty as the cookies you sent us today for lunch.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say I really love, I'm a new subscriber to the paper. I've been doing the iPad version for a long time.
But thank
I'm a new
you.
Subscriber to the paper, and it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the draft issue. It's been great.
1-800-494-PATS.
Perfect. Or you can get it online. Don't forget.
That's true.
PFWOnline.com. Mm, right. Or go to the App Store for Apple and pick up the iPad app.
Patriots Football Daily.
Those pictures really pop in that new Retina display.
He doesn't know what that means, but
just PDF it.
Question about the question, more of a game for the draft. I guess it's kind of a weak game. If you guys had to put in order of exactly what position we need first and foremost, and run down, like, let's say, through the picks, not players who are available or
right.
so on and so forth, just literally the position, what would you take?
Outside linebacker,
pass
defensive
rusher.
End,
yep.
Safety.
Safety. Probably a defensive
tackle.
Yeah.
Offensive line, maybe.
Wide receiver? Really?
Yeah. I might double up on the edge guys. I'd come back around. If I got my safety, my tackle, and my first edge guy, I'd come back around and get a second edge guy. And then I'd start filling in offensive line, running back, and wide receiver.
Not cornerback? I mean, I know we just had Will Allen.
We got
here,
Will Allen. What do we need others for?
No, I'm serious, though.
But I think safety's a bigger need than corner.
I do, too.
Yeah. Defensive back. You know, if you want to,
I'm banking on Will Allen being right and Devin McCourty being good at corner again,
or at least somewhere in the middle.
And if not, we got Razai, who,
Sterling Moore,
still out there.
You have more depth at corner than you do by far at safety and outside linebacker / defensive end. You have nobody to start at outside linebacker defensive end right now. Nobody. Right. You lost both starters as of right now. Maybe Carter will be back.
Any status update? Well, I was just going to say, any status update on him?
No, I think when he's healthy, he'll be here. But
you think I'll re-sign him?
Yes, I do. I think he'll be here. But you still need young guys. Who's to say he's even going to be able to play full games, full season?
You don't know.
And same thing at safety. I know we got Stephen Gregory, but you know, we all in that he's going to start 16 games and be the answer? At least at corner, you have Arrington, you have McCourty, two starters. You have the guy who was your best corner at the end of last year in Sterling Moore, and you have a guy who was almost a first-round pick in Razai Dowling.
Who started the first game of his career.
So you have four starters. You don't have enough starters at all at the other two positions.
Okay.
Why am I yelling?
I don't know.
And who are you yelling at?
Who are you arguing with?
I get passionate at the draft.
Just always
it's my favorite time of year.
It is. It's true, Andy, and you do a great job covering it. Actually, you and Eric roster report this week was really good.
It really was.
You heard it, too?
You guys do a great job together.
I'm big on the West Coast. Wasn't Ty from California, too?
Yeah, he was high, though.
Paulie
sounds like he's sober.
Well, let's not get
I hope so.
There
no? Let's not get ridiculous. All right. Yeah, because it is, only like 10-10 out there right now?
Yeah, it's a little loud. I don't know. I'm not in front of a class.
It's because he's drunk.
I am not drunk.
Yeah.
you made me think of a question. Does any of that matter, outside linebacker, defensive end, if we're 4-3 or 3-4?
A little bit, but
not really. I mean, maybe one guy. Because even in the 3-4, one of the guys is a defensive end. You have your McGinnis guy. So you still need to get that guy, and I've targeted Chandler Jones as maybe that guy, who's kind of the big guy, can play defensive end, can play. And then maybe you get Paul's guy, Bruce Irvin, to be the smaller, leaner pass rusher.
I know we've seen more 4-3 lately than we have in the past. He's always done both, but do you think Belichick has changed at all in what he's looking for?
I think he wants both, and I think he still thinks 3-4 is the best.
And if he can get one guy who can go back and forth between a 3-4 and a 4-3 end,
well,
that
kind of leads to my question. Do you think that's really what he's looking for, is that versatility right now?
Yes.
Probably.
He's not looking for a pure defensive end like a Michael Strahan.
Unfortunately, no.
And he doesn't have anybody, in my opinion, that he has to build around that leads him on. I think Will Fort can play nose, can play end in a 3-4 if you need him to, can play tackle in a 4-3. I think Mayo has proven he can be an inside guy, can be a 4-3 outside guy.
He's better as a 3-4 linebacker, Mayo. Don't you think?
I don't really know.
No?
Seems like he's the same
about
guy
the
to
same.
Me.
Yeah.
Pencil him in for 150.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Hey, two last quick questions, guys. I'm going to be out there mid-May, and I want to go to Patriots Place, and I want to try and see if there's any activity around the stadium to, like, watch them practice or volunteering, practices or whatever they're called. Is there a way to find out if they're listed or what's going to happen during the time I'm there?
Yeah, no.
When are you coming out here?
May 17th through May 27th.
No, only training camp is open to the public.
You won't be able to watch
Mini
those
camps
practices.
aren't open.
But Patriots Place will be open.
Patriots Place will be open.
That's a 365-day destination.
And don't be surprised when you're walking around and there aren't that many people.
Oh,
it's still open.
Eric, that's very
That's why I'm going. I don't want to be around any people.
It's your kind of place.
No wonder why you like Andy.
One last quick thing, Fred. What are the chances, with all these great interviews you've been doing, what are the chances that sometime during the deep off season you can get BB in for like 10 minutes?
Zero.
I'd say there's a 20% chance.
You should really go for it, man. You should really, really try. I think it'd be so much fun to listen to you guys kind of chat with him one-on-one way in the off season when there's no real questions or concerns that like that would make him feel like, oh, I don't want to answer any of those things. Just kind of straight up kind of open-ended football questions. I think it'd be really neat.
I would love it.
I'd love it too.
The invitation's there.
I would love it.
I'd say the 20% chance is like Weekend at Bernie's. He dies and we prop him up in here, and that's the only way.
You know how you said that you'd probably have a lot of those qualifiers to Brady? Like, can you imagine how long Andy and I would have to go with Bill?
Oh, my God.
Well, Bill, we've also, in the past, and it was that 4th-and-2 thing, Bill.
Alexander starting the AFC title game, I called that the dumbest decision I've ever seen.
And Bill, just in full disclosure, not kicking a field goal on 4th-and-13.
Bill, I know you've made us the most successful team in the last over decade.
And Fred is back.
Fred is back. But Bill, I know you've been waiting 7 years now to change the name of your book from five rings to six.
We're trying to be honest and say the things that we've criticized in the past.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry I even meant
I don't know if there'd be enough time in the show. Andy and I would certainly not be employed
anymore. Eric would just say, I'm Eric.
Yeah, I know. All right, Paulie. Thanks for lunch.
Thanks, Paulie.
Take care.
All right, Paulie.
All right, Paulie from L.A.
My name is Eric, and I hate you.
Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Sum it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, guys. I really like you guys. Do me a favor. Don't get Brady or Belichick on the show, because then there won't be a show.
That is a good point. Certainly Belichick would be the last show.
Once they find out what we're doing down here
and what we say.
I like this. This is our little secret. It's going good. Let's go up to the apricot. I guess it's a good name.
Four of us and a quarter of a million of our closest friends.
I think, to use that phrase, if we got Belichick or Brady here, that would be us jumping the shark. That would be kind of.
Yes. Well, it depends how we handle it.
Yeah.
If we just kiss their feet and don't be ourselves.
That would be jumping the shark.
But we wouldn't do that. We're not capable of doing that.
But if we stay true to ourselves and say, Bill, I didn't really agree with 4th-and-2.
Well, other people have said that. That's not a big deal to me. I don't think he cares about questioning football.
No, he'll just MS as soon as he leaves the studio.
Exactly. Yeah. On the way out the door.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even on the air.
I mean, I've heard the biggest rump swabbers in the market question 4th-and-2 to his face.
Not me.
I have. No, I have.
I heard them say, I agree with you, Bill.
No.
That's a quote. I actually agree with you, Bill. Just made all the sense in the world.
Just so you know, Christian, there's no chance we get Brady or Belichick, so we're safe.
I wouldn't give up hope.
Which is a better chance?
Belichick. I was just going to say
of the
that.
Two? Belichick, yeah.
I think so, too.
Much better chance.
Because he's around here every day?
Yeah. Unless Brady has another sister get married that he has to be here for.
Oh, I don't.
Easy with the stock quarterback, will you?
Thank you, Christian. Need him for two or three more
Thanks,
years.
Thanks, Christian.
Listen, I know the picture and it got everybody a little caught me off guard too, but let's not get crazy.
Oh, the glasses.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I mean, he almost looks like the character he was in that movie. He had the glasses, but they were taped. What was he in?
What movie?
One of the Farrelly Brothers movies.
Oh, really?
With Lawyer Malloy. They were the two geeks at the computer. And didn't he have the glasses on that looked geeky?
Jeez, I don't even remember.
No, he had the nose ring or something.
Oh, maybe he did. Maybe Lawyer had the glasses on.
Maybe.
You sure you're not thinking about Saturday Night Live?
No. Yeah, he was in a movie.
Okay.
Me, myself, and Irene?
He was a computer geek in a Farrelly movie, I think.
I don't remember it. I saw Me, Myself, and Irene.
I don't remember Brady in one of the Farrelly brothers, but I'm sure he was.
You got any draft info today, Christian? What do you want to know? I'll tell you anything.
Yeah, well, I just called to confirm my, you know, a little wager there that I had. If they move up at any point in the first round,
you owe us a lunch.
Lunch for me for, you know, a month, once a week.
To pull a Fred, I think there's a 60% chance that you owe us lunch next week.
No way.
Yep.
No way. Yeah. I think they stay at 27, they take a linebacker or a defensive lineman, and then they trade out at 31.
No,
or the other way around. Or they trade out at 27 and take someone at 31.
I'm really? Telling you, they are going to move up into the low or high 20s or whatever it is above them to get a player. You had trouble with that last week, too.
I'm losing faith in that. I'm more with Christian here. I think
they only like a few guys, and one of those guys is going to be there. Chandler Jones, I don't know if he'll be there. He's all over the place, but I think he could be a guy they target.
And I have a question. Is it just me, or is it every year Reese comes out with an article that says this draft really isn't that deep?
I said that last week, remember?
I mean, I read it every year. When is there going to be a deep draft? Does anybody know?
Oh, there was one last year.
Last year was very deep. I actually agree with it this year. I don't think it's a deep draft at
all. This draft sucks, and everybody's saying next year's is going to be deep.
But I think last year's was deep.
But just so you know, much like they always say this year sucks, they always say next year's is good.
Yeah, and then when next year gets here, they say it sucks.
How did it go from being really good to really bad in the course of a year?
Now, when you say deep, do you mean deep as far as is a lot of top-end talent, or do you mean deep as talent from, like, you know, 16 through 50 or something?
I'm meaning more top-end or first-round. I don't think there's 32 first-round picks in this draft. I think there's, like, 10.
Okay.
And I actually don't even think some of those guys are elite. I think there's only, like, three or four elite guys. Richardson, Khalil, Luck.
Griffin.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm not. No. Because I think there's a downside with him. I think there's too many questions to label him elite. He's an elite potential guy. I don't think he's an elite draft pick, elite guy.
Well, what about the Claiborne?
No.
LSU.
Not even close to elite. He's not even the best. The only reason he's the best is because the other guy has four kids and smokes.
Okay.
Want to get high? All right.
Who's he arguing with again?
All right.
I love the draft, for the call. This is literally my favorite. Because I say it all the time, this is the time of year
when
where
you
we
can
compete,
be right no matter what happens.
No, where we compete.
No, that's any time of the year
on
with him.
Equal playing field with everyone else. We don't. We're not mouthpieces for people like some other people are during
training
the year.
Camp.
Well, training camp too. Yeah, but this year, those are my two favorite times.
Okay, but you know what? I understand Andy's point, because training camp, it's the middle of the summer, and all of a sudden we have to work like these 18.
Right.
It's not that great.
I spend half of August trying to figure out how I can get home and get swimming.
It's April. It's a couple of nights. Hey.
Right. This is the best time of the year.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
I'm sold now, by the way.
That was Andy's big thing last year.
How come
not sold?
All my lines that are negative come out of Paul's mouth? You're 6-11.
Because he would have said that.
Right.
He would have said it if you hadn't set it up, you know, before him.
Yes. I'm sold on Solder now, if we want to update that.
Well, I wouldn't have said it about Solder on account of I don't evaluate offensive linemen.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Sean is in Salt Lake City. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Great.
I just have two questions for you. I hear a lot of that we're supposedly going to go up in the teens to get Barron. Is he really worth it? That seems like a lot.
It's a great question. I'm not sure he is. I think he's a good, solid player, and I think he fits their needs. I don't think he's dynamic. He's certainly no Eric Berry,
no,
who was everything you could ask for at that position.
And clearly a top five player.
Right, and that's why he was a top five player, because he didn't really have too many questions. I think Barron has some athletic questions. I'm not sure he's a freak athletically. I think he's comes from a pro defense where he was kind of the field general back there, and that gives you confidence in what he can do, but I'm not sure he's a playmaker where you're going to be wowed every week, you know, watch ESPN and, ooh, there's Mark Barron, you know, picking off a ball or forcing him. I'm not sure he's that guy. He's a rich man's James Sanders.
That said, I would trade up to in the
every show I try.
I would trade up into the 20s to get him, though, if he were to get through the teens.
Yes,
and he
would
was still available at 12.
Well, yeah. Would you go to 12?
That's the question.
I don't know.
Would you go to 13?
I don't think I would go that high.
He would be in a small handful of guys that if it got to 22, 23, 24, I'd be interested.
Oh, yeah.
But you can do that without
giving up much. If you want to get to 12, both first rounders
are gone. I don't like him or anybody else enough to move up significantly to get.
I agree.
I really don't.
So, with him, because there's the other guy, Harrison, out of Notre Dame, which
Smith.
I see him as a second round. What do you guys think of him?
Don't care for
him. Yeah, I don't like him.
Same thing, though. Second round, I would take him.
Not me.
I think he's a borderline starter, and I think those are the only two guys that may end up starters and maybe one or two others, but this is a very weak safety, and you got to be careful not to overdraft guys because I need a
safety. He's the second best.
He stinks.
And it's like, you know, the Ryan Tannehill thing. You have to be real careful with your evaluations. Tannehill may be good enough, but he's clearly the third quarterback, and that's overrating him in terms of his draft possibilities, I think. And I think that, you know, to a much lesser extent and a less profile extent, Harrison Smith is clearly the second best safety after Barron. And I think that someone's going to take him in the second round. Right. I don't think he's a second round player.
He's probably a 2-3 or a 3-4 who's going to go 1-2. Or
someone's going to take him in the second round. And I think that's too early for him.
Other question, I heard of a possible trade and wanted to know what you guys think about it. That the Browns get our 27.
Four.
I can't remember the Whedon, the quarterback.
No. What are we getting?
What are we getting?
Okay.
If we're giving him the 27th pick, I assume Jerry Angelo's not in the league anymore, so I'm assuming that we're not just going to give him a 27th pick for nothing.
Andy Reid.
Well, no, it was for their first round next year, and I think it was like a second or a third.
Sure, I'd do that.
They probably would do that.
Yeah. For a first rounder in a second rounder this year and a first rounder next year?
Absolutely.
That's what they're looking for.
Well, no,
that's
it's not a first. For. We would be giving up one of our first rounds.
Yeah, we'd give them 27.
Second or third this year. And
a first next year.
Yeah, right. So I would do that.
They would do that.
Basically the Saints trade. Patriots would do that, and obviously.
Yeah, except for we'd get a top 10 next year.
Possibly.
Uh-oh.
Depends on how the Browns do.
Remember, just like the Oakland pick.
Right.
Yeah.
So now the Browns have added a quarterback, the best running back in the draft, and somebody else.
But being in their division, I think that's a good. If you know, that's
I would
one
do
of
that
the
trade.
Teams, but
I would
you
do that
can't
trade.
Make the deal just because
no.
you think it's
no, absolutely.
Be a
but I would do
pick.
It anyway. I would do it. Yeah, I would do
because
it anyway.
Because honestly, I couldn't see the Browns in conference. The best record I could see them having is 2-4.
Yeah, but you know, that's assuming they want Whedon division. And they feel that no one else, someone's going to pick them before they get a chance.
Whedon, Fleener are one of the couple guys you want to be there at 27 or 31 because those are the guys that are going to entice trades.
But a lot of stuff is everyone saying Fleener's not that good. He's just,
but he's the best
he's
tight
the best
end.
Tight
this
end,
is
though.
What
if
we
you
talk
want a
about.
Tight end,
you need the best safety. Is Barron worth it? You need the best tight end.
You have to be
is
careful
Fleener
with your
it?
Evaluations because it's a
and
weak draft.
And one last question, you guys can just answer it off the air. What do you think of the people we've picked up defensive wise this year? Because last year, I mean, when you heard about Anderson and Carter, it was like, oh well.
Right.
So I'll take your comments off the air.
All right, Sean, thank you for the call. I think they've had some good depth.
They've added two borderline starters.
I mean, Fanini could start, right?
And Fanene, too.
Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, he could start.
But he's a borderline starter.
But he's not. Yeah, I'm not counting on him to
add to your top five or top six.
No, I said that you got some good depth.
Right.
Well,
he's essentially
playmakers.
Yeah. He was the replacement for Mike Wright.
Right, which is a borderline
which
starter.
Which is a borderline starter who's best when he comes in situationally.
Yeah.
And Gregory is automatically better than anyone you started last year named Slater or whatever. But that doesn't mean he's good. That doesn't mean you've added, again, I think you may have added starters 10 and 11 or 8 and 9. They need to add some guys up top near Will Fork and Mayo and McCourty. They need playmakers.
I don't think they're going to get that unless it's a guy that they draft and has a great rookie season. They're, at this point, you're not going to get
I thought guys are always available.
Well, it's somebody that we don't know about, perhaps, but as far as
good friend.
But the chances are of them getting somebody at a Will Fork level.
Well, Andre Carter, you signed I know it was a different year, but Andre Carter, you signed, and he was arguably your best defensive player last year.
Yeah.
In terms of consistency,
one of the top three, anyway.
Yeah. You got him late. You got him. That's true. Was a veteran signing. Yeah. He was a guy.
The only thing about the late,
part of it was lockout related.
Every signing last year was late.
No, I know, but. Andre Carter was not going to be a marquee signing early or late.
No, he would have been just like the guys that you signed. He was one of these guys.
But that's my
point. And I think that was the caller's point.
You got a top three defender. But I don't think the two guys you got are that, but maybe there's still somebody out there. But why can we not assume that we've seen a lot of guys come in and have impacts
on
defense?
Well, the caller's point is we didn't think much of Andre Carter and Anderson, yet they were.
Right.
You know, so
but
maybe,
you also thought of you
about
thought a
Steve
lot
Gregory.
About Haynesworth.
What about Steve
I just
Gregory?
Mentioned it.
I mean, could he be one of those guys? Why?
Tiny.
Too small.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and the other thing with Anderson, let's not get lost.
He took it. I said one word, and he just moved on.
I asked your reason why you don't think he could be an impact guy, and you said he's too small.
Yeah. But I think that we also can be sometimes guilty of overrating the impact. I mean, Andre Carter, I thought, had a significant impact. Mark Anderson played a bigger role than we thought. But I don't think he was necessarily an impact player. I know we had 10 sacks, just like Carter did. Andy?
Carter is a 10-sack guy. Anderson is a guy who got 10 sacks.
And I think that's accurate in this case.
Is that good?
No, but, you know.
No.
No, I think there is a difference between
Jonathan Fernandez might be able to contribute as much as Anderson did last year, but I don't think that's necessarily going to have a huge impact on your defense.
Let's put it this way. I mean, everyone talks about the Super Bowl, and if Gronkowski was healthy, they probably would have won that game. I also say if Carter was in that game, it would have made a big difference, too.
They got to the quarterback. They got to Manning in the Super Bowl. That wasn't a problem.
They had the worst defense in the league with him and without him.
I think he would have made a difference.
I don't.
How much of a difference, though, Fred? I think it's inarguable that Gronkowski would have made a difference.
They sacked Manning how many times in that game? They got pressure on him.
Two times.
But they got pressure on him. They forced him to throw bad passes.
They didn't force him to throw any incompletions. He went 30 for 40 or something like
that. Yeah, but they didn't do that all year with Carter in the.
That's my terrible secondary point. They did the same in the Super Bowl as they did. Matter of fact, you could argue that they kept the points down a little bit.
I would argue
the Super Bowl
was a little better than we could have expected.
Well, their best game of the year. They definitely rose to the occasion. There's no doubt about
it. My point was.
I mean, the other team had the ball for 40 minutes, a lot of games with Carter in it.
Why
just
can't Chandler Jones come in and be an impact player?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, well, I think he can. And I think, you know.
He didn't expect that.
Well, you're making it sound like there's no way to add impact players.
Well,
now.
No, but it sounds to me like your idea of an impact player is a known quantity. And
Andre Carter was not a known quantity.
Devin McCourty was an impact player.
But I think that the guys that they signed, they're okay, but nobody there is a guy that's going to be like Will Fork or Mayo.
Right.
Well, yeah, because they haven't been far. You know?
I mean, Fanene is in year 10, 9. He's been a backup. I find it hard to believe he's going to come here and be just a stud.
But what you're talking about is you either got to draft a first-round pick or sign a big-name free agent in order to know that at least have evidence that they're going to be like Wolfork or Mayo.
Let me give you an
example.
So
you're ruling out everybody that's on the market.
Your guy Trevor Scott, in my opinion, has a better chance to be an impact playmaker than Jonathan Fanene.
Workout warrior.
No. Can we be serious for a minute? We know what Fanene is. He's a proven commodity in this league. Your guy, maybe he is. Maybe he needs that change of scenery, change of defense.
Right.
He's ready, boom, and all of a sudden, 8.5 sacks, an impact player. Fanene is not that.
No, he's a middle. You know, he's a middle guy.
We know what he is. Yeah. He is what he is.
But on this team, he right. They need that.
He's a mean, tough Samoan backup.
But they need that on this team. It was definitely a need.
It's a good signing. My favorite signing so far this offseason.
You know,
doesn't mean he's going to be one of your best defensive players.
I don't think anyone's expecting him to be.
Give me your list of defensive players. We're talking about you need impact players. Who's in your top five? Your top five defensive players on this team heading into 2012?
For impact, who are my top five defensive players? I mean, you got Mayo, Will Fork.
Say that.
Chung.
Yeah, but that bought him an extra 10 seconds of thinking about it.
Who's on defense? Who's on defense?
I'm trying to think. So
Will Fork, Mayo, Chung.
Yeah, I'd have to look at more at Fanene. You know, he could be. You know? Let me think here. I mean, I like Spikes.
I thought for sure you'd have Spikes.
Yeah. I mean, I think Spikes is going to have a big year.
Okay.
You know, so there's five right there.
You counted Fanene?
Yeah, I think Fanene's going to be a solid player on this team.
That's expecting a lot.
Really? I mean, did you think Mike Wright was a game-changing type of player?
I think he never lived up to what he could be.
What, an undrafted rookie?
What the hell are you talking about?
Not from where he was drafted, but I think once he got in this team, I think he had a lot of potential because of his versatility and his speed, but injuries.
I think they got the most out of him that they could.
No, I agree.
I think he was coming
first
on.
First time error ever, Eric's right.
I think injuries hurt him.
Shut up.
Third time.
You know, I think he had a higher ceiling and he never got to realize what they could get.
I could not possibly.
I think he went to the ceiling. He opened the sunroof and went through the sunroof.
Well, I know you guys don't think anyone on the defense is good. So
no,
that's not true.
I'm telling you that I think that Mike Wright was outstanding, considering what they did, what he is.
I think he was on the verge of even getting better, and I think injuries held him back.
I think he overachieved like crazy.
Couldn't stay on the field.
Okay, so you filled out, and you think Finene's in there. To me, that says something bad about your defense. A backup you signed from another team as a low-level free agent.
Well, yeah. You better hope.
And there's a lot of question marks. Razai Dowling's a question mark.
If you're
going
to have that five thing, you better hope one of those five is a cornerback. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, McCourty's a question mark. Razai Dowling's a question mark.
Big question mark.
Sterling Moore is a question mark.
Time out. You only have two. If we're going to start saying guys are question marks, then Spikes, Chung, and Finene are question marks.
I don't think Spikes. To me, Spikes isn't a question mark.
Yeah, for the eight games he plays a year. What about the other eight? So that makes him a question mark.
So Mike Wright couldn't stay on the field, but there's no question mark about Brandon Spikes, who has yet to play close to a full season.
He had some problems last year.
And the year before.
But he'll be back.
And by the way, he's only been in the league 2 years. So those are the only years.
This is a big season for Spikes.
I agree with you. I think he made a big difference on the defense. I think he has a chance to be better than Mayo. I think he could make more impact plays than Gerard Mayo. But it's just a projection right now until he can prove I can stay on the field. And I think Chung is the same thing. I think he could be a good player. I don't know that he's great, but I think he could be good. But he too has to stay on the field.
I agree with Chung. I don't think he's great. But right now, he's the best they have at safety. You know, so you asked me to make top five. That's,
and you had two.
Yeah. You know, those are my top five.
You need to add to
Who's your top five?
I would give you Mayo and
Wilfork.
Wilfork, right. Obviously. I'm with you on Spikes. If he can stay healthy, I think he's in the top five. And I would put Andre Carter in there because I'm assuming he's coming back.
See, I'm not even counting him yet.
I'm not even counting him yet.
And then I think Paul's right. If you have a sniff, you got to put McCourty in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in trouble.
You better.
So you just cross your fingers and put McCourty in there.
No, you need him to play well.
Like you said to Will Allen, we'll need you.
Yeah.
But my point is, you're going to need McCourty.
I think you need to add one of those in the draft. I thought you needed to add one in the offseason, but as you said, you've kind of gone through some of the offseason. So now you need to add a guy who comes in like Mayo, and you go, wow, he's going to start opening day. Wow, he's going to play every week. Wow, he's playing 70% of snaps.
I think there's opportunity here for a guy to start on opening day.
And be an impact guy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was the point of my exercise. There's an opportunity for these two first-round picks, potentially, to be top six players on a team that is close to the Super Bowl.
And
that would
be great. I said, unless you're going to draft him. I'm talking about, I thought we were talking about free agents.
No, I'm just talking about adding playmakers.
Okay, and then absolutely, you could get...
I mean, Alden Smith
came in as a
part-time player and... broke the record for sacks or was close to it, was an all-pro caliber player. The Patriots need to hit on one of those this year, in my opinion.
I would agree with that.
Whether it's Barron, Chandler Jones,
Pastor,
whatever.
There's three or four openings to me in the starting lineup for someone who comes
in.
And,
at every layer of the defense,
there's opportunity.
You left Kyle Love out. He's not a top five guy?
No. He's a solid depth guy.
Finene is, but Kyle Love is.
Okay, if I had to choose between the two, I would choose Finene.
You want the backup over the guy who started for the Patriots last year, a team that you tell me,
all we did was in 13 games go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. They must have done something right.
Well, that's my choice. What would you would choose Love over Finene?
I know what I have in Love. Finene is a rotational backup.
Yeah.
I would have Finene anywhere in my top 10.
I like
next to Vince.
As much as I love Samoans, he's not in my top
10. I like the signing, but... He hasn't been a starter. I don't know why we're assuming he's a starting caliber player.
And I don't think you can get away with every year expecting the career backup part-time guy like Mark Anderson was last year to come in and have a huge impact. You can't rely on that every year.
I can see him doing that, but Mark Anderson wasn't more important than Kyle Love.
What do you consider huge impact? Because none of them have yet.
Mark Anderson had a huge impact last year.
I don't think that.
Andre
Carter. Kyle Love had more of an impact than Mark Anderson did. Andre Carter had a huge impact. He played the run. He played every down. He was your best pass rusher. But that to me is a huge impact.
But did you say career backup?
That's what Finene is.
Yeah, but Andre Carter wasn't a career
backup. No, he wasn't. I was talking about
Andre
Mark
Carter
Anderson.
Was a career stud.
I was talking about Mark Anderson in that, scenario.
The questions about Carter coming in last year was, does he have anything left?
Yeah.
Right.
But no one questioned his career.
Right. He's not a career backup.
And no, he's a career. He was
No. I was talking about Mark Anderson in that. I was talking
something
about
like that.
How many times do I have to say it? I was talking about Mark Anderson in
he's
that scenario.
Paul fight.
I wasn't talking about Andre Carter in that scenario. I was talking.
I didn't
about Mark
say
Anderson.
Anything to you. Period.
People are having their own little arguments with themselves here.
But evidently, I was not aware I was in one.
We're gonna grab each other's panties and twist them.
All of a sudden, that was chastised. But
web radio
talking about Andre Carter.
You read some emails, by the way. I know there's a phone call, but people get mad that we've gone all phone calls. And the heart of this show is email, and you got to stick with the emailers.
Well, I mean, we've had a lot.
Read them fast.
We've
Why do you sound like chipmunks? It sounds like chipmunks. Fix the audio.
Is it not working? Again?
I don't know.
Let's see. Eric is from New York.
probably.
And he says, with the draft rapidly approaching, I found myself debating two scenarios last night and wanted to get the opinion of Mr. Draft, Mrs. Draft, Grandpa Draft, and the Knows Nothing Draft. That would be me, and I agree.
The Our Lads reader.
Would you rather see the Patriots package the first two round picks to move up in the draft to the 10 to 12 spot and select someone like Mark Barron, Quentin Couples, Melvin Ingram, or whoever they identify as the one guy, or would you rather see them select the two picks at the end of the first round? The past few years, I would have said to definitely move up, but this year I think you can get two really talented players at positions of need at the end of the round, such as the combinations of Jenkins and Merciless, Brockers and Branch, McClellan and Hosley, or any combination of the late first-round potentials. What's your opinion?
I'm
the middle.
Trade up to the middle?
Yeah, and potentially you could trade up and still make two picks in the first round.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the scenario I'm looking for, is to trade up to get one first-round pick, somebody in that group.
But hold on to the 31,
maybe? Hold on to the other one, and maybe trade out. I'm open to trading out. If I can get that deal that other guy was offering, and I can somehow swing both, that's what I'm looking to do. Maximize those twos
you can go
by
from,
using them as commodities.
You can go from 27 to 22 for, what, a third-round pick? Second-round pick?
Whatever, second or a third.
Okay, so that's one scenario, and then maybe you could take your Merciless or whoever, you know, Barron, if he happens to fall, or one
Chandler
of those guys,
Jones.
Chandler Jones, and then you could take 31 and trade someone else for a first rounder next year and a second rounder this year. You get that second rounder that you used back, and you end up with two second rounders again, and you still got the guy that you wanted in the first round.
Freddie, I was telling you in the office this morning, I want to see a splash in the draft. I like it when there's excitement in the top 10 or so picks, so I would love to see them move up that far. Not necessarily for Mark Barron, but part of me also wants them to get a lot of talent. So I want them to kind of stay put and just make those picks finally instead of wheeling and dealing all the time. One of these years, they have to use those picks. They can't just keep trading for the future and the future never gets here. One of these days, they need to make those picks.
This is not the year, though.
It's probably not, but
I'll be yelling a year too late if they trade up into the top 10. Year too late.
That, you know, to answer the specific question.
But I would take that.
No,
though.
I wouldn't
do that.
If they
find someone they
think
is worth it.
Sucks if they draft Melvin Ingram at 9 and he blows.
Like, I really like Melvin Ingram. I wouldn't trade two first-round picks to go up and get him. I just don't think he's that kind of caliber of a player.
I mean we wouldn't go to 17 to get a pass from 17 to get a pass rusher last year.
You know,
now we're going to go from 27
to
when they're not
example,
as good. There's not as many.
I think
I would just like
up,
to see them do something and finally say, oh yeah, there's a player we
I
think
mean,
is
yeah,
worth
it. Movement really, for the sake of movement is not valuable.
No, that's, but if you really believe in the guy, I don't think giving up the 31st pick is that much of a price to pay.
Well, I don't really believe
to go,
in the guy.
To go where?
But if they do, I'm saying, then I'll say fine. If that's what they think,
you really want. This is the guy that we've really targeted. We have a chance to get him before anyone else does.
In the top 10?
Maybe the top 15.
Yeah, well, it's costing you more than the 31 then. That's well, I was asking you where you wanted to go.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you could get up to like 15 with both of those picks.
Oh, you can get to,
you get to
11.
To, yeah.
Between 11 and 10
yeah.
with the two.
Well, I'm not 15. There's a difference. That's why I was asking you how far you wanted to go. But you know, Eric Berry was the guy.
You just said you can get to 11?
Yes.
And you said not 15?
You can't get to 15 with just the 31 is what I'm saying.
No, you have to give both of them up.
Yeah, but you said you keep changing arguments. Okay.
Here it
okay.
goes.
If you're willing to trade them both, yes.
No,
okay,
let me
I'm
explain what
you.
I mean. You have to give them both up.
You said
really,
I'd be willing to give up 31.
You're saying, all right, I'm giving you my 27 and 31 basic, but you're really losing one pick because you're getting a pick.
Right. That's what I always say.
Yes.
Right.
No, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But when you just said 31, I thought you were saying trading
no, you're
31 to get up to 15.
No, of course not. You're giving 27 and 31
I'm with
up.
You. I'm with
to
you.
To get the guy you really believe in. If you really believe in that guy, I don't think it's that big a price to pay.
Right. And
no,
I argued
not.
That last year when there was a boatload of impact players available on
but
defense.
To me, Mark Barron isn't that guy.
Right.
Eric Berry would have been a guy like
right.
that. I would have said, you know, at the same position, he's that good to me.
That's my point
that
about
done it.
Luck, Richardson, Khalil. Those guys are all that guy. Those guys, I would
but
trade
too
whatever.
High.
Well, and they're also yeah. not the right, right. needs.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no way I would do it for. I mean, I love Richardson almost as much as Andy does. No one could love him as much as Andy does. But I would never do that for a running back. I would never do it for a running back. Andy would. Andy loves running backs.
I wouldn't necessarily with this team, but the running back thing wouldn't dissuade me from doing it in general. I think the best time to get a running back is in that first.
I agree on that.
Whatever.
And I think to get an elite one, more often than not, you have to, you know, go up and get him. There's always guys, yes, in the third round, and there's this guy and that guy. But I think he is a all-pro. You know, as long as he doesn't get hurt, you're going to get a decade or 8 years out of him as one of the best running backs in football.
We talked about that Brady movie. Jesse from Michigan says it was he appeared as computer geek number one in Stuck on You.
Yes.
Somebody else said it was Dumb and Dumberer.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Stuck on You.
Matt Damon movie?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumberer.
Oh, that wasn't the Farrelly Brothers.
No. Okay. It wasn't very good.
Because that's they're coming out with Dumb and Dumber, Dumber 2.
Right, yeah. With Gerard Mayo.
It's an official Farrelly Brother.
Okay. Movie. So Stuck on You was the movie then.
Stuck on You.
Wasn't very good.
No?
Am I the only one that really doesn't think most of those movies are very good?
I don't think most of them are good.
I think they're 50-50. You're talking about the Farrelly Brothers?
Yeah.
I think they're about 50-50.
Because Something About Mary was
something
pretty good.
Mary, phenomenal.
I did like Something About Mary.
Dumb and Dumber, phenomenal.
Dumb and Dumber was good.
Me, Myself, and Irene
was terrible.
I thought it was very good.
I didn't like it.
What are the others?
The Kingpin? Right?
Kingpin was okay.
I don't know that I've ever really seen that.
Kingpin was okay. I didn't really like Stuck on You. I didn't really like Me, Myself,
Stuck on
Irene.
You, not good. I'd say it's about 50-50.
What else is there? Sure, I'm missing a lot of them.
Yeah,
oh, Shallow Hal, I didn't really like.
Oh, Shallow Hal, not that very good.
Mike Gerken has a Would You Rather game.
Brooklyn Decker? I thought I've made that up.
So here we go. Number one, use both first-round picks to trade up for Barron, Brockers, Copples, or Upshaw, or trade down with both first-round picks and pick up a second and third this year as well as a first and second next year.
All right, let's go with the first. Let's break this down individually. Yeah. Barron, Copples, who else?
Brockers.
Upshaw, Brockers.
Those are the four choices to move up for? Yep. Not interested in any of them.
Okay.
Me either. Not that.
So you'd rather do the trade down if you had a chance.
Well, what's the trade? We're trading everything?
You trade down for both first-round picks and you pick up a second and third this year and a first and second next year.
That doesn't sound like enough.
I want two firsts.
Yeah.
For trading my two first rounds this year,
I want two firsts
first next year.
Yeah.
Bill traded a one for a one.
A
and
one
a
and a two.
So I should get two ones and two
for
twos.
Two, yeah. Correct.
That's
what I want.
Brockers would be the only guy. I don't love him, but the theory of him, he could be. I mean, people say the next Seymour, he's had one good year, but he has all the physical tools and blah, blah. If he hits his upside, I think he's could be worth a deal up. I'm not sure Barron's. I think people are aware that Barron's ceiling isn't quite as high as you'd like it to be. He's got a low. No, he's got a high floor.
high floor, low ceiling,
and not a super high ceiling.
Okay,
no, I was serious.
I was quiet. I was waiting.
The other, he's got more. Would you rather trade up?
But
both
he really
first
ruined
round
this. Would you rather? I was thinking something fun. We're
right,
doing
Brooklyn
draft,
Decker
draft scenarios.
Okay, well it is
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Trade up both first round picks for Barron or take Harrison Smith at 31.
Barron. Whatever is not taking Harrison Smith at 31.
Okay. Would you rather?
I'm not sure I would take him at 131. I'm being serious. He's a third round pick to me.
You don't like Notre Dame guys. That's the fourth round.
I love Michael Floyd.
Did you?
Love Michael Floyd. I'd take him in a heartbeat. Not going to be available.
He's a third round pick. How come you wouldn't take him in the fourth?
Oh, shut up.
Would you rather Shea McClellan or Whitney Merciless or Nick Perry?
Merciless.
Would you rather running back or O-line in the first round?
Running back.
Neither, but O-line if I have to.
But boy, are people going to bitch when I take Turbin in the first round.
Running back.
Kendall Reese, Devon Still, or Jarrell Worthy?
Worthy.
Ugh. Worthy.
I don't care for any of the bunch in the first round.
The number two running back, whoever you like the best,
Turbin.
With 31, or no running back at all?
No running back at all.
Stephen Hill in the first or Reuben Randall in the second?
Reuben Randall.
In the second.
And finally, Andy gets his intestinal issues resolved, or Eric loses his virginity to a girl.
Come on.
To a girl.
He emphasizes
good,
that.
Good,
yeah, I know what he
good.
Did. Yeah.
Now, does that happen with people that kind of switch midstream? Like, do you consider yourself a gay virgin if you become gay later in life and, like, you're saving yourself for the right man or woman?
You start over. You get a do-over.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm being kind of serious.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get a do-over.
It's interesting.
Let's see.
I never really thought about it.
Well, you should. There's a lot of people in this world that face those tough decisions.
Well,
society does not look kindly upon them.
Do those people that face those tough decisions worry about any of my tough decisions? I would hope not.
They might. Are these pants still going to fit today when I pull them on?
Oh.
What
are you laughing at?
Cole,
Chubby?
I just laughed
Walrus
at
Walrus boy.
He's got the remark just waiting at the tip of his tongue. You know, there's no delay whatsoever.
It's mean.
Yeah.
It really is.
No delay. Cole from Waterloo, we know that Bill looks to trade down
Paul's
every year. He's probably going to trade one of his first picks this year. My question is, what do you guys think is an acceptable return value? Do we have to get a first next year, or would you accept less?
No.
Not trading a first. Not trading a one for anything less than a one.
The general rule is, we should hope for is no one else wants to do a deal. Then he has to make a pick.
That's a good point.
Well, no. What
I was actually joking about that with Andy this morning. Like, what would happen if – obviously, Bill loves to trade these picks, and they wouldn't do it if they didn't think it was advantageous to them. So what would happen if the rest of the league said, you know what?
The Patriots keep making
all these trades that they think are working out for them, and – you know, they win every year, so obviously they are working out for them. I'm not going to trade with them.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they just don't have any picks.
I don't know
what the deal is,
but if it's with him, I'm not doing it.
Right.
They treat him like I treat telemarketers during dinner.
Right.
We don't want any.
Right.
I just go, hello, and as soon as I hear the computer, I hang it up.
Imagine if Bill had like one of those what are they called, roto calls?
Oh, yeah.
Where he tapes like the thing ahead of time.
Right.
This is
kind of hard to tell, though, the way he talks.
Live, roto, same.
Yeah.
What you really should be hoping for, supposedly.
That's one of those.
Now it's a 10% chance
when he comes on the show.
I'll have to tell him.
Bill, do you have a robotic voice?
You want all these teams. Supposedly everybody in the top, there's a whole bunch of teams that want to get out and nobody wants to get in. If that lowers the value and they all start saying, I really want to get out, well, if Bill can trade up from 27 to 10 all of a sudden and keep 31, you know, he trades 27, a third.
That'd be
great. Well, if that happens, now you want him to trade up, even if the guy's not ideal.
Well, that's what I asked you about a month ago. Has that trade value chart changed at all because of this draft?
And according to people that know, it hasn't.
It hasn't.
But the value is set. It's like if there's a lot of strawberries, strawberries are cheap at the supermarket.
Supply and demand.
Well, if there's a lot of picks available, teams that want to sell them, the value goes down.
It should.
Because I can trade with 9, 8, 7, or 6. I don't have to just trade with you. So it's got nothing to do with trade value chart. It's got to do with the specific draft and the landscape of people wanting to get out. And if Bill can take advantage of that, then I'm all for it. I don't want to give up 2 ones to go get anybody, but a 1 and a 2 or a 1 and a 3, and I come away with Merciless and I still get another guy, okay, I'm more interested.
Big Don from Cali writes, and I have a question for Andy. Can you rank the top 5 pass rushers in this year's draft through your eyes? My top 5 is Bruce Irvin, Merciless, Vinny Curry, Chandler Jones, and Branch from Clemson.
I would go Merciless 1.
I like Branch.
He's got Bruce Irvin number 1, huh?
Well, he might be the best pure passer.
So
that might not be
a problem child.
I mean,
right. That was in one of the debate guys in our paper had him as the best
pure pass rusher in terms of speed. I'm going after the quarterback. You know, the Bill Cowher thing with Greg Lloyd. Rush the quarterback.
Right.
If you just say to him, I want you to go after the quarterback, he might be the best.
And don't hit me.
Yeah, and don't shoot me.
I would go Merciless 1. I would probably go Ingram 2, although I don't love him. I don't know if I'd pick him 2, but I would probably go Ingram 2. 3, I would probably go maybe Perry. He might be 3rd.
I think Perry might be a better pure rusher than guys like Branch and Jones.
I'm not in love with Branch. Jones, to me, is not a pure pass rusher. He's a guy who can rush, but can also be a versatile DEOLB type.
And that's why I picked Perry. We haven't, this hasn't aired yet, but Patriots Today, we had a little mock draft that's going to be on.
Hasn't aired yet? When is it? It's not today?
Well, I assume they didn't turn it around in an hour.
Oh.
Didn't we just do that, like, this morning?
Yeah, I don't know. When I start ranting and raving, the oxygen
start
leaves.
Going together.
So, yeah, Merciless. Who did I go second?
Ingram.
Ingram. Perry. And then I think it gets kind of muddled.
You don't have Irvin up there?
I haven't seen enough of Irvin to say I'm willing to say he's an NFL elite.
But everybody says,
everybody says a lot of things.
He can fly.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of guys that can run fast that don't do anything in the NFL.
Yeah, and you wonder what happens when he starts locking horns with big tackles.
Right.
That, you know, they've been around the block a little bit. They've seen their share of speed, guys.
In the Big East?
I don't know what else. Yeah. I don't know what else he's got.
West Virginia.
You know, he's not facing Matt Khalil every week in the Big
East. I don't know
what
else he's got.
It's a terrible conference.
He's running around you. He's not running through you.
Okay.
So.
And he doesn't seem like a guy that has a lot of refined pass rush moves. Ooh, wait a minute. That didn't work when I just run around the guy? That works against Jags in the Big East. We ain't on the Big East anymore.
Okay.
That said, I would definitely be interested in him in that Harrison Smith area.
Yeah. The guys you wouldn't take in the fourth who you would take in the third.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Well, that's going to be it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's 2 o'clock. We got to go.
Come on.
That's it for this edition of PFW Progress. Want to thank Will Allen for coming in and sucking helium with us.
The poor guy on the phone?
He's from Denmark.
He's from Denmark. Take him.
I just clicked it off.
Oh.
Make him active. Can you make him active?
Let me see.
Hey, Danish boy. Hello? Sven?
No.
Rasmus.
Magnus?
Rasmus?
Yes, Magnus. Is that you?
No, it's Rasmus. How are you doing, guys?
Oh, hi, Rasmus.
Why are you speaking in an accent?
Yeah, but it's an Irish one, somehow.
What do you got? What's your football? Fred was going to cut you off, but I saved you, buddy.
You're lucky.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, no, I was just going to talk to you basically about some of the stuff you were talking about, Mark Barron and trading out. But I want to know, what about Chandler Jones? Because you guys don't really talk about him. And if I was to come out of this draft with only one guy, it would have to be him, and then trade all the other picks because all I want is him.
I think he's a good player with potential. The injury obviously hurt him last year, missed five games. I don't think he's an elite athlete or an elite pass rusher. I think he's
He is, because he has basically the same measurables as JPP, and you love him.
I didn't love him. I wouldn't have drafted him, actually. I've been very impressed with his pro potential, but I actually would have taken the other guy who was more productive in college, his teammate, who I can't think
Selvey.
Of now. Selvey.
Selvey.
But Chandler Jones, to me, when I watch him,
Selvey wasn't a bust. He was like a sixth-round pick.
Nobody wanted him.
He dropped.
I don't see impact, edge, NFL playmaking pass rusher when I see Chandler Jones. I see a Belichick player who can do it all. You know, get 6.5 sacks, play the run.
And that's why we think the Patriots would probably be interested in him.
I think he's a well-rounded guy that they would like to put at the end of the line of scrimmage.
So you'd trade up to get him?
I would trade up in the 20s. I wouldn't go above the 20s. I put him in the same thing as Barron. I think they both are perfect fits. I would trade up 5-7 picks, but I'm not selling out to get either one.
All right. Thanks, Rasmus, and thanks for holding on from Denmark.
Danish.
Right, that is going to do it for this show. Again, thanks to Will Allen for sucking helium with us. And we will be back Thursday at 8 o'clock live when the draft opens with at least 3 hours of PFW in progress, so we'll talk to you then. Till I need new shoes. Yeah, yeah. I said, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop talking to me. Stop, don't stop, don't stop giving me things.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Want the most in-depth analysis of the Patriots 2012 draft? Thursday, April 26th, join PFW in Progress for a very special live edition during the first round of the 77th NFL Draft. Hear all 32 picks live as they happen. Get the latest scoop on trade rumors and get instant reaction from the staff of PFW. Put the kids to bed early and get your mock drafts ready for the PFW in Progress 2012 Draft Special.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get